Welcome to episode 299 of the Crippled System Podcast. My name is Andy.
Woo!
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 These gummy bears are pretty good. Did you have some gummy bears yet, Andy? Did you have some gummy bears? There's the sour kind.
My name is Andy.
Yeah, you said that already.
Mm-hmm.
There's some gummy bears for you.
We're trying to avoid repeating ourselves tonight.
Your name is Andy.
Somebody messaged us something about some Iowa thing. Did you read that in more details?
It's not an Iowa thing. It's an Indiana thing.
Indiana. I knew it was a state that started with an
I. Read it. I read it.
What's going on?
But I didn't use
Indiana.
Reddit. There's a team event, so that basically means David is hot to trot on that issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. When is it?
Listen, Andy read it. I didn't.
Hey, welcome to Crippled System, episode 299.
We're trying not to repeat ourselves.
My name is Andy, and I am here with...
Gummy Bears.
And Dave.
Bouncing here and there and everywhere. High adventure that's beyond compare. I think that's an underappreciated aspect of the Disney afternoon lineup.
The Gummy Bears?
Yeah. Like all the duck shows, DuckTales, Darkwing Duck, people remember those and love those.
Well, of course, because DuckTales is like the best thing on kids' TV for years.
They're the good part of it.
Gummy Bears was solid.
No, they're not. They're not solid. Look at them. They're kind of...
They're squishy.
They're slightly liquidy.
And Tailspin.
Tailspin is fucking awesome.
And Carrie Fisher in it. And Rescue Rangers is the other one everybody remembers.
Yeah.
Because Gadget made a generation of furries.
Yeah.
Also had like one of the best names for a mouse ever.
Gadget?
Monterey Jack.
He liked cheese.
Yeah.
And there's a fat cat. And there was an episode with some soda cult that worshipped this flavor of soda. And I still remember the song that they sang about their soda. Like 30 years later, it's still in my head. I'm not going to sing it. It's in my head flawless. But if I tried to sing it, it would just be a raspy disaster of gummy throat.
Well, what's the... Can you do a spoken word rendition?
It's like... Come along, sing along, feel the chill of cuckoo cola or something like that. I can hear it in my head.
Do you want one of these quote unquote from Nathan Hoffman mediocre crackers?
They're just Cheez-Its.
They're not Cheez-Its. Fucking A. God damn it. They're fucking good. Why are these not available in the U.S.?
Cheez-Its?
No. Why is the Cheds not available in the U.S.? I don't understand this.
Butterfingers aren't available in Australia, so turnaround's fair play.
Well, fuck, I'll send some Butterfingers to Australia for some Cheds.
Yeah, you can, you know, do it a exchange racket. I remember watching one of those dumb, like, clickbaity videos about, like, you know, such and such people try such and such for the first time, and it was Australians trying American snack foods, and the guy who ate he had a Butterfinger, and he's like, oh, these are really good, like... These would be good in, like, a McFlurry. And then the host is like, they have those. He's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Butterfingers are... I didn't know that was more regional to the Americas.
So. Or at least not to, you know...
Not to Australia.
Not to Prison Island.
I mean, if the candy is basically nothing but sugar, there's a good chance it's specifically an American thing, since a lot of the other places in the world that have confections have stuff in them that's not sugar.
Yeah. I mean, I actually really... Butterfingers, like a lot of things that you hear imported out to other places, like Australia for Foster's, which I hear that beer is the worst in Australia. like
Stella. In Europe, Stella's just like, you know, that's the cheap shit. That's the, like,
that's
PBR.
That's the hams.
The
hams of... Yeah, it'd be like Australia suddenly getting the American hams.
Now, the best part is Beck's. Which is just a terribly generic lager. Mm-hmm. And I got a keg of it once and realized that, because I've got all the tapping equipment and stuff, and that I had realized that Beck's kegs are shipped with the European standard connector, not the German connector, because nobody in Germany actually drinks it.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking up a list of American candy bars not available. The Google was UK. I didn't bother specifying Australia because, you know, they're basically the same thing.
Well, I know that our chocolates are insanely sweet over here as compared to other places, but some of the Swedish chocolate is fucking amazing.
It's not necessarily the sweetness, it's the rancid milk vomit flavor of Nestle chocolate that the Europeans don't like. And that's like, to an American, that's just like what chocolate tastes like. Yeah. And to them, it's just this grossest shit that it ever could possibly be. And it's just a different flavor.
It's their fault.
So this little summary at the top of the Google said that these poor UK brethren don't get Reese's cups or candy bars like Nutrageous and Fast Break. They don't get Butterfinger, Baby Ruth, Mike and Ike's, Swedish Fish, Sour Patch, Twizzlers, or Red Vines.
I'm surprised I don't get Reese's peanut butter cups because those are like the.
It says there does exist a UK specific version of the milk chocolate cups.
Oh. But none of those are supplied by ET. Oh, no, there's Reese's Pieces. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that wasn't listed. It was just the candy bars that they didn't have. So I'm going to look at the UK Reese's peanut butter cups. Yeah. Maybe it uses the different chocolate or something.
Oh. Quite possibly. But I am completely open if anybody actually still listens to us from Australia that has
Cheds.
Has Cheds, I would be more than happy to send you some Butterfingers. Or if you just want to send us Cheds.
Or any other American confectionery that you particularly request.
Yeah,
they're like, get me some Red Vines.
Yeah,
I'll get them some Red Vines.
I'll get you some Red, but Twizzlers are. I like Twizzlers better than Red Vines. It has more of a flavor,
which is why I'm willing to send them the Red Vines. No,
true. Yeah, Red Vines are America's version of Foster's or Beck's. There's better tasting stuff out there.
Yeah, Red Vines are the Malort of licorice whips.
Yeah, and you do not want Malort. If somebody says, hey, we'll trade you Malort, you should go the other way. Because
everybody should have a bottle of Malort in their home liquor stash.
It's, I mean, you just bring it out. It's how to politely indicate that it's time for guests to go home.
Holy shit.
Or earn their stay.
No, that's how you get kids not to drink, is you keep a bottle of Malort and... Or even then, just mix it with everything else. Like, then they drink that and like, oh... I bet Dad had this bottle of Jack Daniels that just tasted like ass.
Or they learn to drink with Malort, and then everything else just tastes like candy. They're just drinking whiskey like lemonade.
Yeah, I was drinking some Malort at War Machine Weekend a couple of years ago, and I came to the disturbing realizations that Malort somehow tastes worse cold. And I don't understand how that works.
It's Malort tastes worse in every way. It's like how... like. A Mobius strip is a single-sided, three-dimensional shape, or like a Quine bottle. Like Malort manages to taste worse than it does in any other form, in every form.
Yeah, it's fractally terrible.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine how that would, because I've had at least, maybe not, I don't know if I had, but if I've been drunk on Malort, which would mean you have to drink a lot of it. When you have like the burps later on, how does that taste? Is it as good?
I have never and will never been drunk off of Malort. Malort is there to sip, to remind yourself that pain exists in that extent. It's the imbibing version of cutting yourself to know that you can still feel.
Yeah.
Did you find the Indiana thing?
Oh, was I supposed to do that?
I don't know. You had your phone out, and it was topical at the time. I was vamping. I was biting those ladies on their necks. That's a pun, David.
Ben Lang is moving. I don't know where.
That's not Indiana!
Maybe he's moving to Indiana.
Do we know?
No, I have no idea. I haven't talked to him.
Jesus. Announcement, Ben Ling's moving. You don't vamp. You're the one who's looking up the information that the gentleman and or lady sent us. I think it was a gentleman.
Yeah, I don't know where this is in my phone.
Jesus. All
right, how come it's not showing up on... Is it showing up on Messenger? It should be... I don't know where this is. I got his message. I got the picture, and I got the thing, and I...
If you go to the crippled system on your book faces.
Yeah, but hey, you know what sucks about Facebook?
Everything?
Yep. No, it's the... Just looking into... There it is, inbox. I found it.
Yay.
Oh, yeah, I hate dealing
with... It was from Patrick Wheaton. Yeah, dealing with Facebook on your phone is this...
Dealing with Facebook for like the conflict chamber for conflict chamber stuff is terrible because I will get messages, I will get notifications that just get buried someplace, and then like a week later Facebook says, oh, you should respond to this guy. I'm like, fuck.
All right, so we got a message from Patrick Wheaton coming up on 2-2, which is Groundhog's Day, also my grandmother's birthday.
Your grandmother was a groundhog?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
but it was. Yeah. It's just Groundhog's Day. It has nothing to do with grandmothers.
I just thought
maybe my grandmother saw her shadow. There's going to be two more weeks, or is it 8 weeks? Yeah, 8 weeks of
6 weeks.
6 weeks,
which six is weeks. Your two different offers negated from each other.
Yeah. So now it's only 4 weeks. Only 4 weeks of 50-degree weather and rain. Because that's how we're that's getting in Wisconsin now. Yeah, winter is just 50-degree weather and fucking rain.
Yeah.
When the fuck did Wisconsin suddenly turn into the Pacific Northwest?
When we destroyed the environment.
We didn't destroy it. We just altered it.
Sure.
Made it our
if
own.
If your term, like, if an environment making life unsustainable counts as being destroyed.
I mean, look at this way.
Is it unsustainable in Wisconsin right now?
Oh, it's great. I mean, look, like, the slide has started.
Yeah.
Like, no. Life will be extinct in 100 years.
I mean, look at it this way. A couple billion people are going to die, but the winters are going to be nicer here in Madison.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Less crowded.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. At least we're not living...
Sure, at this rate, mass starvation will start in 3 years, but fuck them. What have human beings ever done for us?
At least us three here aren't living anywhere near any place that causes wind, because holy fuck. Wind, it's dangerous. Watch out.
Give you cancer and kill bald eagles.
Yeah. It is the biggest killer of all bald eagles. Bald egos?
Bald egos. February 2nd, Sunday.
So it's a indie storm. They've got one tournament, three qualifiers, Iron Gauntlet, Warfare Weekend qualifier, and the WHITS qualifier, which is the Indiana Area State Championship. So that's happening then. So you should go sign up. Check out www.indiestorm.net.
But yeah, just to make sure I'm reading that right. So it's a single tournament, but you qualify for all three of those based on your performance in that one tournament.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy. That makes it a big deal.
Yeah. If you get more people to it, that's pretty awesome. I know there was a team tournament, I think I mentioned in there too.
Yes, there's team tournament and planned scrambles as well. So, you know, it's not the, you know, obviously that tournament's the big mainline draw, but the scrambles and the team tournament are also fun. And it's a whole gaming convention, so there's other shit to do.
Yeah.
You can go to www.indiestorm.net for more info.
Well, I already said that.
Yeah, but I was repeating it.
I
was repeating it. I was letting them know that they should go to www.indiestorm.net. That's www.indiestorm.net. At the end of every fucking commercial, when they say like the phone number eight times, I just start punching my radio.
Three times, because the three times makes it memory.
So you remember it better.
Yeah, it is a memory thing. 588-2300.
Eagle
Empire.
Man. Eagle Man. I have determined that I don't know that there's anything I hate more than Mad City Mitsubishi radio commercials. They just shriek like howler monkeys.
Yeah.
Just incessantly.
They're the first ones.
And they make me want
to
drive my car into a bridge embankment.
Why not drive it into their store?
Fuck them. I don't know. I don't need them to have the, you know, there's another visitor. This many people visited us. They'd count it that way. Even though I only drove to their store to murder people, they'd still count me as attendance.
I love how their
most
point
now.
Is. Yeah, I know they're the most there, but for the longest time, they were like, we're the second best in all of Wisconsin. I'm like,
it was in the nation, though.
In the nation, yeah.
But still, yeah, being second, it's that Ricky Bobby, if you're not first, you're last.
But. Yeah, but the question is, how many Mitsubishi dealers are there compared to every other car manufacturer? So there can't be that much competition.
I fucking hate them. And it did it because it was to the point when I needed to buy a car. And I was like, where should I go to go buy a car? My brain's like, you know who you've heard a lot is Mad City Mitsubishi. And that's the point. Like, they're obnoxious to make sure they stick in your head. But it went too far because I went, oh, yeah, I know them. Fuck them. They get none of my money. And I didn't go there. And that's how you know that you were too annoying. Those shitheads. I fucking hate them.
I mean, the nice part, though, is this is not essentially like a local thing. This happens everywhere. Everybody's got a local car salesman that is the fucking worst.
But I think these are the worst of the worst. I don't know that I've ever heard a regional used car shrieky douchebag worse than the Mad City Mitsubishi guys. They are horrible.
Yeah. I like the ones I end up seeing that have like the high school film audio team or the video and audio team that comes out and records their commercial for them. Those are fun. They have like a really bad plot or horrible, the worst acting in the world. So, those I can forgive because, you know, they're trying to save a buck.
Sure.
And it's for our entertainment.
Yeah. That's when, you know, the dad owns the used car lot and he doesn't want to spend any money on actors or anything. So he just forces his kids to be in there.
Yep. We have an insurance place that does that too.
Yep.
And that is a worse commercial as well. Those kids, they do not look happy doing what they're doing.
Fucking Mad City Mitsubishi.
That's one of the advantages for the last speaker in my car to have finally burned down.
Jesus.
Are you going to go to AMS? Get a new speaker system from JL Audio?
Are they still on every single episode of the morning show?
This is the podcast where we complain about all.
About Madison local Radio?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good, because I have a third thing to complain about Madison Local Radio, and it's a second 94.1 morning show one, and I'm sure you can already guess what it is.
But the fake
continue,
at 8?
Yeah, the fucking fake at 8. But continue with Paul from AMS.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, he's a nice guy, it seems like, but man, he is the most droning on fucking person in the world talking about all the people that come to his store, and we just work.
I get a car start. AMS is sponsoring, and that's fine. Have the professional DJs talk about your store and, you know, hey, go to AMS and blah, blah, blah. But instead, Paul comes in there and he is not an entertainer. So he just drones on and on and on about his woofers and tweeters. And yeah, I don't care, Paul.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you basically plug the store at the beginning. You have an interesting conversation with the person. I mean, you don't have to exactly talk about things in the store, but I guess he's paying for it, so it's kind of what he wants to do.
It's a sponsor spot, you know, and I get that, but
I think it's more effective if he's more down to earth.
Yeah, maybe. But the goddamn fake at 8, every single weekday for decades.
Yeah, we should mention what the fake at 8 is.
I am gonna.
Yeah.
Every single day at 8 a.m., they have some lady call in. She pulls a When a Harry guy. Met Sally.
Possibly a guy.
I've never heard a guy do it.
I think I heard.
But in general, like if they do some guys now, it's like for a laugh because originally it was ladies. They call in, they do the diner scene from When Harry Met Sally, and then they give them like a concert ticket or some shit.
No, they berate them.
Well,
if they're bad.
They berate them for their performance. They judge their fake orgasm.
Yeah.
And then they maybe give them some concert tickets. And I don't understand why. Like, I don't get the purpose. Like, am I supposed to be sexually aroused by the lady making the orgasm sounds? If so, I mean, this is morning commute time radio. Am I supposed to be jerking off in my car during my commute? Or am I just supposed to be blue-balling, listening to a lady be sexually aroused but fakely? And if I'm not supposed to be sexually aroused, then what is the point of listening to somebody just go, for 45 seconds? Like,
what are you, some kind of invisible bull?
Sure. The point is, like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, it's not entertaining.
No.
Like, there's nothing fucking to it.
I think you're overthinking morning radio.
No. But there's so many other better skits.
What's the purpose? What as a listener am I supposed to take away from this thing that they have held on to for decades, every single day?
On that note.
Also, there aren't this many women in the Madison listening area. Like, are there some repeats by now?
Probably.
On this topic, I saw Cats this week, and we need to talk about it.
I saw 5 minutes of Cats, and I wanted to die.
We can hold off on that. No, what I think it is, I think it's a remnant of the shock jock era of Stern.
Sure.
Having something like that on. But it's... All it does,
Stern would be like, "Oh yeah, she's taking her top off." I'm like, "All right, cool." So you're seeing a chick's boobs, yeah. And
for me, all it means is that when I pull into my work, and I've like blaring some music or something like that, and I switch to the radio, and that's going off. I can just about imagine what people around the car might think.
Oh, I mean, I do not put the radio on 94.1 in the entire morning just because it's not worth it.
Yeah, morning radio is terrible almost across the board.
That's why I just prop my phone up on my speedometer and watch YouTube videos.
I don't mind. No. I don't mind listening to Dee.
She's all right, although you hear her on 106.7. They do the punk rock news. Punk rock news is like, you know, they do the little news segment. Same news as anywhere else, but since news is always bad, after the news is over, they play a punk rock song so you can get your aggression out.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's the gimmick. Like, I'll go with that.
I was just checking to see, make sure that we actually had a chat.
No.
Yeah. I didn't see you.
Oh, apparently they've had some guys fake being girls, but I don't think they've ever intentionally had guys be on there to do the guy orgasm fake.
No, no, no. Which there's no guy orgasm thing. It's just
the best. One of the greatest sketches ever on Saturday Night Live was the, remember the Herbal Essence shampoo?
Mm-hmm.
Where the whole gimmick was these ladies were shampooing their hair and they were just coming super hard because of how great this shampoo is. And they had a parody commercial that was that, but they came out with a shampoo for guys. And so the guys would be shampooing their hair and they'd just go, like, I'm like, yeah. And it was great. And just like the O faces that like Will Ferrell and Tracy Morgan were making. Like just seeing Tracy Morgan grunting and O facing while shampooing his hair. I think Will Ferrell started to cry. Good times. The beauty of the male orgasm.
Speaking of male orgasms,
Cats.
Nathan,
and now he's segueing into Cats.
I saw Cats.
Yeah, so I saw Cats.
I saw 5 minutes of Cats.
Is it anything like the animated show, the Dr. Cats?
Thundercats,
that too. That's another animated show. But I was talking about Dr. Cats, though.
It actually kind of was like Dr. Cats in that everything was twitching around randomly and it hurt my eyes.
So, I mean, legitimately, for the first 15 minutes of the film, I thought I was starting to think to myself, and it's like, okay, everybody has this all wrong. This is a critique of the corruption of film by technology and money.
Uh-huh.
And it looked, and I mean, it was just like down to the beat. That's everything. It seemed like that because sort of fake dancing style that if you're like on Saturday Night Live and you're trying to give the impression that you're playing a super cultured arty dancer or theatrical person. I mean, think Mike Myers dancing on Sprockets.
Sure.
Or Mango.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
So it was starting like that, and I was like, "Okay, this is a critique. This is performance art." And then there was Rebel Wilson, and it just was like, "No, this is just terrible." But I mean, it was legitimately from the beginning. I thought it was a critique. I thought it was in on the joke that it was a critique of itself, and it was like, "No, this is just terrible."
I can't wait till that thing wins so many awards.
Rebel Wilson unzips her skin to reveal more skin underneath, and then eats human faced cockroach people and
tosses them in the air and swallows them and leans on her back, spreading her legs wide, scratching her thighs. And then
one of the reviews I watched, Folding Ideas guy, he said that the moment that broke his brain, he said everybody's going to have one moment that breaks them, and it's not going to be the same moment for everybody, but for him, it was when Judi Dench just scissor spread her legs in approval of another cat's performance, and he's just like, no, no.
I mean, there were a lot of terrible moments. I mean, I think the Rebel Wilson eating human-faced cockroaches was probably the worst part of it. But I mean, that song was followed by one where you took a children's poem about. I mean, okay, so if anybody is not familiar with Cats, Cats is a musical. It is a song.
No. That's giving it too much credit.
No, just go watch it. Go watch it. Yeah. If you don't know anything about Cats, go watch it.
As a musical theater child, fuck that noise. Cats doesn't get to qualify as a musical.
Okay, Cats.
It's like there's certain things that are so bad they don't even deserve to be called a movie.
Cats was intended to be a musical.
Cats is a performance by people on a stage, and music exists within it. So by the loosest definition,
to be a musical,
it could be considered a musical.
So it is based on the book Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats, which is a collection of children's poems written in the late 1930s by T.S. Eliot. And I did not realize this connection until recently, because I am very familiar with Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats, because it was my wife's mother read it to her when she was young, and my wife reads it to our young kids. So I'm very familiar with the poems in that and the characters in it. And so it was bizarre to me, because I had never seen Cats before and was not aware of this connection. It was bizarre to me that you could make a coherent plot out of it.
Because
only like two of the poems are connected at all.
Yeah.
But yes, the answer is you can't. And then when I got to see it, I realized not only were they trying to make a coherent musical out of it, it was a coherent sung through musical. With just a bunch of unconnected children's poems.
Yep.
And so...
So characters can come in, introduce themselves, and then leave, never to be seen again.
Yes. And so they started on that, and they had the introductory thing where all of the cats were walking around on all fours, and then the film just kind of forgot about that. And
except for sometimes.
Yeah, except for Grizabella briefly, and just a couple of moments here and there. But they start out all walking on all fours, which is kind of terrifying when they're doing the back arching and shoulder arching and stuff to go along with it. And the CGI is especially bad, because it looks like the faces are just pasted onto the bodies.
And they don't move the same as the bodies.
Yeah, and then they just kind of forget about the cats walking on all fours.
Well, like, I was waiting for my nachos, and so I ducked into the theater that was playing Cats because my movie hadn't started yet. And you know, some song finished up. They're singing about a Jellicle choice, like they usually sing about something Jellicle related. And then after the song was done, they're all just like sitting there or standing, and some are on all fours and some are still standing up, and they kind of freeze for a second. And then like the synthesizer starts like cacophonistically making noise every once in a while, and they're just twitching and jerking, and then they just start rubbing on each other I don't know that
because this is for a musical. Also, the music itself was heavily synthesized, or was just terrible.
Like, okay, your song's over. Go to the next song. Why are you? What is this erotic, physical scatting that's happening?
Yeah.
Why am I seeing this?
His movies that he has directed have not been that great. Yeah.
And so it goes from the old Gumby cat, which was the Rebel Wilson spreading her legs, scratching
Jenny
her thighs,
dots.
And eating cockroaches with human faces. And then it goes to the Rum Tum Tugger, and the Rum Tum Tugger is a children's poem. I should point out that, with the exception of there was one song that was new for this movie, and there are like two songs in the original Cats that were new for the original Cats musical. Everything else is a children's poem, and the Rum Tum Tugger is a children's poem about how cats always seem to want to be on the other side of a door, and as soon as you let them out the door, they want to come right back over.
I think you're misinterpreting the poem. I'm pretty sure it's about how much this cat likes to fuck everyone.
As I was saying, it's a children's poem about...
I think Tom Hooper agrees with me.
It's a children's poem about cats just wanting to be on the other side of the door, and they turned it into Jason Derulo wanting to fuck everything.
Yeah, yeah. He's the cat version of, God damn it. Like, I started that knowing I couldn't remember the person's name, and I was hoping I'd remember it by the end of the sentence. God fuckity fuck fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been a great, great reference. And it was ruined by my own melted brain. You know that one guy? He was married to that lady.
Did you hear with that Tom Hooper, 1 week after its release, it was revealed that by the Daily Mail that Tom Hooper edited and recut the film after it had been panned by many critics? Yeah. So it received a CGI update and a reshoot, the director's cut, second week.
Who's that one guy? The one that's not Noel Fielding.
Well, I don't know.
He was married to that lady who she kissed a girl. And she liked it. Cherry Chapstick.
Yeah.
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, I don't know who she's married to.
That British guy, goddammit.
Anyway.
Fuck!
Idris Elba?
No! God damn it. He's like the human version of that Rum Tum Tugger song. God, son of a bitch.
And so it goes into more.
Like Jimmy something, the no. child show?
No. Guy? No. No.
Andrew Lloyd Webber. So he's still living?
Russell Brand. Russell Brand.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Rum Tongue Tugger sounds like the cat version of Russell Brand. Andy, edit all of that out. So it sounds like I got that on the first try.
Okay. Got it.
All right. One, two, three. Sounds like the cat version of Russell Brand.
And so it just gets more mediocre. It got more mediocre from there. And it was also the movie was also amazing in how, and not just that it was a bad movie, but that every part of it was bad. That it's like the cinematography was bad. I don't know how when your movie is entirely CGI, I don't know how your cinematography is bad. When you can just say like a fuck it, we'll regenerate this scene from a camera that doesn't exist. How is your cinematography bad?
See, I think you were numb when you left the theater because your first text was like, it wasn't that bad, guys. And then you went on for 50 texts about everything that was terrible.
No, I didn't say it wasn't that bad. I said it wasn't as bad as the reviews make it, which I will stand by because this is one of those things that every time you have a movie that is truly terrible, and this movie is truly terrible, and in terms of how terrible it is per dollar spent, I think it's actually worse than Battlefield Earth, which is an accomplishment.
Well, I mean, nothing is worse per dollar spent than Attack of the Clones. Clones. Send in the clones. Star Wars 2.
But the
Star Wars 2 is the worst film dollar for dollar ever made by humans.
I honestly don't remember it that much. I've seen it maybe twice and then the Plinkett review.
I would say per dollar spent it was slightly better than Battlefield Earth, which was better than cats.
Ironically, Rebel Wilson is allergic to cats in real life.
Fuck off, IMDb trivia. That's not ironic. Yeah.
But is that
no, Attack of the Clones is not better than Battlefield Earth dollar for dollar. Do you remember the 1950s diner randomly in the middle of Attack of the Clones?
Yes.
And then the assassination attempt where the Emperor hires Dooku, who hires Jango Fett, who hires a shapeshifter, who uses a robot to dispense centipedes to assassinate somebody. Just shoot the bitch. There's an open window. Also, the shapeshifter never shapeshifts. Why is it a shapeshifter?
Mm-hmm. But anyway, the singing was mostly mediocre. The music was terrible. The cinematography was bad. In a CGI film, I don't understand, as I said. There was one scene, there was one bit where they panned across the scene of a bunch of cats, except the pan was too fast and covering too much space and too many characters for the 24 hertz theater projection. So it was literally incomprehensible. So it's like your brain. I mean, I was sitting there, and it just looked like a static pattern because of how bad the pan was.
You sure you didn't just have a stroke? the nudity in it is sure. Weird.
Yeah,
and I can kind of get used to like, all right, whatever. So that cat's naked because it's a cat. Like, ha ha, Donald Duck's not wearing pants. Who gives a shit? Like, it's whatever. But Donald Duck is consistent. It's like if Mickey took his shorts off, it's creepy and weird because I'm used to him having shorts. So I've seen shots of Idris Elba wearing his big fluffy fur coat. And then I've seen shots of naked cat Idris Elba, and it's creepy.
Yeah,
because he has the coat on.
I mean, are we going to mention that Jason Derulo complained that they digitally edited out his cock?
I mean, sure, you know.
I mean, this feels like a relevant discussion of the movie.
Also, all the female cats should have had six breasts, but you know.
Yeah.
What I'm reading here is just making me reminding me of how much IMDb trivia is shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's shit. James Corden and Sir Ian McKellen have appeared in Disney musical movies.
Okay.
Corden appeared in Into the Woods 2014, and McKellen appeared in Beauty and the Beast in 2017.
Did
That's
he?
Trivia.
Did he?
Oh, yeah, and then Corden.
Who was Ian McKellen in the live-action shitty movie?
I don't know. He played Cogsworth.
He was Cogsworth?
Earlier, the trivia that's right before that is Idris Elba and Sir Ian McKellen have starred in Disney live-action remakes.
What was Idris in?
Idris Elba played Shere Khan in The Jungle Book, and McKellen played Cogsworth in Beauty and the Beast 2017.
My favorite thing about IMDb trivia is that they don't like call it often enough because nobody gives a shit. Because like, who's gonna do that? Who's gonna 40 hours a week go through it old? So number one, you get 50 of the same trivia because people keep adding it, and the old ones never get deleted. So you'll just scroll through and see repeats. But my favorite is like, Dread, you know, came out a decade ago, and you look at the trivia, and it'll say Lena Headey is slated to appear as the villain. Like, that's the trivia. Because somebody in the race to be the first person to put some trivia in there had some casting news, and now it's just rotting there a decade later.
Oh, and it's the second movie in which Idris Elba played a feline. The first one was in The Jungle Book 2016, where he played Shere Khan.
Sheriff Khan?
Sheriff Khan, yes.
Oh, and then there was the scene that they had the cat drinking champagne, except it was digital champagne, and the quality of the animation on the champagne was just confusingly bad.
I heard it described as when the characters would drink alcohol in Mass Effect.
I mean, literally the drinking effect in Dark Souls when you chug Estus was better than the champagne in the Buster for Jones sequence.
Randomly to answer a chat question from 15 minutes ago, alternative is your answer. 106.7 is alternative music.
But so I mean this movie was just I mean it was confusing and how it just seemed like it failed in every part of the process of the creation of a film, because then they had I mean even at the end they got to the end they sang the big emotional climax song, because Memory is just an amazing song, which is why in the musical they sing it three times.
Mm-hmm.
And so they give the full rendition, and it is sung really well in the movie. And then the cat goes up to heaven or dies or what the fuck ever, because nothing is explained in the film. And then after they have the emotional climax and they all get together and sing On the Addressing of Cats, which would have made sense if it was like the first song.
No, because now that you've endured and your spirit's broken, you've earned the right to see cats as they truly are. With mistakenly not edited out human hands complete with wedding rings.
Yeah. And
Judi Dench's hands are human in several shots. She just has her normal hands with her wedding ring and everything. They forgot to put cat hands over them. That was one of the from the 2.0 patch that they released to theaters last week was to fix that.
And I mean, I will say that it's like the new song that was written for the movie was actually pretty good, but it wasn't a children's poem it wasn't a sexualized children's poem, which is an upgrade compared to the rest of it.
And I will say I can understand, like I can identify with the characters because I also would enter into a competition where the winner gets to finally die. Like I can feel that's you know, the Jellicle way, just to desperately want to die and seek release from this world.
I don't even know remotely anything about cats.
You come on, you introduce yourself, you leave, and then at the end, old Deuteronomy picks one of you and you die. The end.
No, and then you sing another song.
Yeah, you sing the only good song from the musical again, and then you die.
Yeah, that's the only
In this case, represented by a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
Wasn't there aliens in this?
There was somewhere. A UFO in one of the... So the depending on where you saw the production and the budget, either they climbed a staircase or a UFO took them up out of the stage when they went to the Heaviside layer to be reincarnated. In the movie, it's apparently a hot air balloon.
Yeah. But
Idris Elba desperately cheats because he desperately wants to die.
Yeah. I will say that it's like that. I mean, it probably says a lot for the movie that the best thing in it was Taylor Swift, that her number was the best one, and the McCavity, the Mystery Cat song, and the whole number with everything, the dancing and the stage and all of that was actually pretty good. But
well,
that was the entirety of the film that was actually good.
She's a performer,
good.
Though. I mean, that's basically what she does on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not... I would expect her to be probably the best part of that film.
Andy, did you know that cats have three names each? They have their human name that their human owner gives them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then they have their cat name.
Oh.
And their cat name, only one cat ever can have it. They can never be repeated. So, like, there's only one Deuteronomy in the history of the universe, and there can only be one Jenny Any Dots. And that's why they have such weird names like Rum Tum Tugger and Jenny Any Dots and McCavity and Gus.
Asparagus.
Apparently.
His name's Asparagus.
Gus.
Asparagus.
The theater cat. Still, Asparagus is not a weird enough name that. And then they have a third name that they don't even know, but it's their true name inside. And when you see a cat staring into space, it's because they're contemplating their true name.
Also, for some fucking unknown reason, you sing the song after the emotional climax. And I cannot comprehend that because it's just like, oh, all of a sudden.
You need your movie to come to a screeching halt and interrupt any and all dramatic pacing.
Yeah.
And then end on kind of a, huh?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want it to end on like a triumphant emotional note. You just kind of want to put the kibosh on that shit.
Yeah. But yeah, I will say that this was there was plenty of criticism from the trailer when they had the bit about Taylor Swift gliding along spraying catnip everywhere on the trailer, and people were rightly making fun of that, but that was the best part of the whole movie.
I've heard that everybody who sees the movie, there's one cat that disturbingly arouses them, and you don't get to pick which one. It's just, it's going to happen.
I think we should go see it.
You're welcome to think that.
I think you and I, we should go see this. We should do a lot of drinking beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Or during. I have three flasks. I think my family thinks I'm an alcoholic because I keep getting flasks for birthday and Christmas presents.
That's one of those things. That's how you know that A, you're getting old, and B, nobody in your family understands you. Is you get stuff that is associated with old people from the 40s.
Sure,
I got a pop-up book for my Christmas present.
I got a Capybara T-shirt.
Yeah.
And a build-your-own clock that I built already.
My pop-up book is a multi-city pop-up book, so it actually pops up out of the book itself and is every major city in Azeroth.
Okay.
So it has Ardarnassus, it has Ironforge, it has Stormwind.
You fucking
nerd. The best part about it is the Darnassus pop-up has a little slider that's on it.
Mm, sure.
That then shows it on fire.
That's great. No, I got Tweed.
If you didn't know, the Forsaken had burnt down the elven homeland, Darnassus.
Darn.
Yeah.
Assus. That's a pun.
One is just a burnt tree.
Oh, Lord Almighty!
There's a lot of people complaining about that, but it was one of the coolest parts that happened in the battle for Azeroth. And then the Alliance tried to.
It's a cool part of Final Fantasy IX too.
When they burn down a tree,
you go into a big giant tree, and then the final boss of that dungeon, quote unquote, the big tree, is like the tree itself is attacking you.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, whatever. And so, of course, you're like, tree, it's going to be weak to fire. And so you cast, like, a fire spell on it. And that's a bad idea because you're in the tree. So it actually sets the whole tree on fire, and your guys just start dying horrific deaths because now you're fighting inside of a bonfire. It's pretty neat that they programmed that into it.
Nice. Yeah. Do we have anything else?
I also saw Star Wars. That was really good.
Storm Wars?
Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, if you'd been here last week, you could have talked about it.
Yeah.
Too late now, old man. You missed your chance.
I still haven't seen episode eight.
Babu Frisk?
Yeah.
He's C-3PO's oldest friend.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't seen what? Episode 8 of The Mandalorian?
Yeah. I need to see it.
Spoilers. Stuff happens.
Yep. I heard there was some punching.
Yeah, maybe.
Of some scout troopers.
Yes, and scout troopers punch other things, yeah. Yeah, the first 5 minutes were cute.
No, but I haven't seen it yet. I'm saving it. Oh, probably just fell. Just started watching it again with Leslie, and we've only made it up to four episodes.
Well, it's halfway there.
Yeah.
You're living on a prayer.
No.
I finished The Witcher. That is also eight episodes.
Yeah. I saw people post it. Like, my Netflix is broken. There's no episode 9.
That was me.
That was you?
That was me. Yeah. Episode 8 ended, and I was like, yeah, could I? No, please. More, please. More. And not just because it was super good, but, like, I needed more. Chat wants to know when the Star Wars episode's getting uploaded.
It is actually uploaded right now. I just haven't linked to it yet.
Oh.
It's just with the holiday and everything, I didn't find time.
Fair.
I was getting my warlock to 60, so.
Oh my lord.
Speaking of Star Wars,
talking about The Witcher.
Yeah, speaking of Star Wars stuff, I just finished Jedi Fallen Order, which I had recommended a few weeks ago, but I just got around to finishing it, and the story was actually surprisingly good. Mm-hmm. I think the plot was good enough to carry an actual non-episode Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Although it's in that fun spot where, since it takes place before New Hope, like, you know, the main character has to die. Like, if not in this game, then in the sequel or eventually. Because he ain't around in episode 4.
For an EA game, it's not as buggy as normal. So it's buggy, but it's not.
Well, that's because it's Respawn. EA produces, they don't make.
Doesn't Respawn do. Don't they do the
Apex Legends is their other current game.
The whole Titanfall universe.
Series.
Well, because Apex Legends is a Titanfall game. Yeah. But yeah.
You know, they're pretty tight, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's not as buggy as a lot of other EA stuff. Because DICE, who's EA's other real big current studio, is utter trash, and everything they release is garbage on a stick.
I don't think I ran into a single noticeable bug in Fallen Order.
No, there's so many videos of like somebody jumping onto a bridge, the bridge collapses, and they're just standing there in midair.
Or the reverse, the bridge doesn't, and they fall through it.
Yeah.
I mean, there were
that happens.
There were a few annoying things here and there, like you look down at a ledge, and it's like, oh, I wonder if something's there. I'm going to drop down, and it turns out the ledge doesn't actually have anything under it, so you just fall through it to your death.
Yeah,
I consider that just the issues with level design as opposed to a bug itself. But I didn't really run into any bugs with the game. I thought it was a good game, but it had some questionable design decisions. Like, I will complain that a whole lot of the stages had a lot of one way spots to go through, and I don't like that in a game. It's just I understand why it's there, but it's just something I don't personally like dealing with. And then it was basically the game was more about exploration and combat. I mean, people call it a Dark Souls-like game, but there wasn't as much character progression and customization as in other ones. And so there was a ton of exploration and a ton of chests to find, but in the chests you just get cosmetic items, and most of them are ugly, or either A, ugly, or B, only affect your lightsaber. And mm-hmm. when I say I don't mean the lightsaber blade, I mean the lightsaber handle itself. So you have a ridiculous amount of customization options for what your lightsaber handle looks like.
Sure.
And that is literally most of what you find in chests in the game. So there's some weird stuff in it, but it was a good game. And yeah. As I said, I was actually really impressed with how good the plot was.
Cool. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm attending to a thing. No.
Did you play it, Andy?
No. No, I'm playing WoW. I have no time for anything else. My warlock is now 60. I am attuned to the molten core. I am working. I just have to go kill Drakesh to get my Onyxia attunement. I'm sure Nathan is loving all words here.
Go on, continue.
And that's it. I just have to go kill do an Uber's run tonight.
Do you think it was cheating when the guy who ended up being the first person to reach 60 in WoW Classic would have his friends would do? He did the layer shaking or whatever they called it, the whole like layer shifting.
It's the layer shifting. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is layer shifting?
So stuff won't reach. So it was the race to get to level 60, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're stuck on your server.
Yeah.
You can't switch servers. But because the push when WoW Classic came out was so big, they had to like multiple pseudo servers within servers that were layers, right? And so this guy who was trying to be the first person to get to level 60, he would kill a mob with AoE spells, and instead of waiting for the mob to respawn, he'd have a friend who was on the same server but a different layer invite him to group, and by accepting that invite, he'd shift layers and the mob would be back.
Yeah.
And some people are saying, man, that's cheating. And, you know, and it's within the game. I mean, he was able to do it. So,
yeah.
So, I don't really think it's, it's not something that can be broken now because it's, you know, they've taken layers out of the game. Whatever.
Meh. I am glad I'm not at a point in my life that layer shifting is something that I would consider doing.
But I will say, though, my new favorite thing to do in WoW...
You know, I mean, no one else can ever be the first person to reach level 60 in WoW Classic, right? So, I mean, that's fine, but I mean, he's permanently ingrained in a history book that matters to a lot of people, right? And so there are some people, like, that's... I mean, that's a big deal. Like, that's cool. Like, I don't give a shit about WoW, but, like, if I could be the only person to do something, that's still cool. So I can get that drive.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. The layers are there.
Yep. I will say, though, I found my new favorite thing to do in WoW. In WoW Classic. Is there's a lot of bots that happen in WoW Classic. Or actually just in general for most of the games, just a lot of farming going on. It's kind of more lucrative in WoW Classic because it's very limited. So I'm on a PvP server. And so when there's alliance bots running around, you can just go up to them and just kill them without any kind of repercussion whatsoever because they're not programmed to do that. The best part is fearing them into other mobs and watching the other mobs just kill them. Or killing their pet, watching them try to resurrect their pet multiple times, and then you just fear them into other mobs and they die. And then they make their way back, resurrect, try to summon their pet. They can't summon their pet because their pet's dead. Try to res them, and then I fear them into mobs. I took a bot so far off its path it stopped working, and I almost got it to the fatigue area in Ashera. I just feared it off its path.
Rude.
No, it's not. Those fuckers are fucking with their economy, so. Also, they're also endangering people's security, too, because, you know, people who actually steal in those type of games probably steal your information, too, when you give them your credit card to buy gold.
Do they steal your entire inventory from 200 yards away?
No, no.
So WoW is not the same as it's Fallout 76.
It's a little bit more secure than Fallout 76 than just to be in draw distance. If you see somebody is like, oh shit, I see him. Oh, my inventory is gone, and all their clothes falls off, and I've seen
instantly.
It all.
And they're scrambling with their Pip-Boy, but it's too late.
I've seen it all.
Fucking hate. Good old Fallout 76.
You heard about that, didn't you?
I didn't hear about the stealing all of your shit at draw distance.
Yeah, yeah. There was a tool that somebody made, and they made it so that you could, with their friends, they could trade non-tradable things, like legendary armors that you get from raids and stuff like that. So it allowed you to go into somebody else's inventory. It treated them like a container. Yeah. And so he put it on the internet, and he said, "This is for trading raid armors with your friends. Do not use it for anything else. Wink, wink." And so what people use it for is you see somebody, and there was no distance limitation, so draw distance. As soon as somebody was on your screen, you'd click on them. You click take all. You got their entire inventory, including stuff they paid real-world money for, including their actual Pip-Boy that their character needs to function. Just gone.
Why?
Eventually, Bethesda took the servers down.
How retarded do you have to be to design a game where that is possible?
I mean, Bethesda?
I mean, I mean,
you could make Preston Garvey just appear out of thin air. Like Bethesda's terrible.
I mean,
they took a single-player game. They tried to force it into being an MMO. Nothing works since day one. Remember, these are the same people that forgot that years change. Because they released this game in 2018, November, when January 1st of 2019 rolled around, the game stopped functioning because they forgot to make sure that the game could function after the year changed.
Yeah, I mean,
how the fuck do you exist in programming after 2001 and not know this shit?
After 2000.
Right, yeah, sorry, yeah.
No, I mean, how are you dysfunctional on that level? I mean, I guess the answer is that the game engine itself is so good and so easy to program that that you can get interns to do all of the work on it.
Well, I mean, the real thing is that Fallout 76 is based on Fallout 4. As much as they claimed it was built from the ground up, we know it's actually just Fallout 4 because the Pridwin and Preston Garvey are still in there, right? So it is just Fallout 4, which was just Fallout 3. Yeah. And because they wanted people to be able to mod for this game, the source code is out there. Like, anyone can just have the source code for the creation engine because that's what makes it so moddable. And so easy modding is easy modding, and that modding can include treating other players like a container, whether they agree to it or not.
I can't think of a game, but I'm sure that there's been a time when Bethesda actually made a workable game. I can't think of it, but I'm sure that, I mean, it cannot be. They've always made bad games.
I mean, so they have that reputation.
The creation engine, I think, started with Oblivion. I believe that was the first game on that engine, and every game on that engine has been fucked to hell and back.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to Oblivion. I mean, when Daggerfall came out in 1995?
No.
You've got your phone up.
Daggerfall was after that because I had Arena, and Arena was around that time.
Arena, okay, yeah, Arena was 95. Arena was not as buggy as the later ones.
It was, you couldn't do much in Arena.
I mean, Daggerfall was just infamous for how it just didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That game could be really cool. I love the aesthetic of the Fallout universe. I think it's solid. That game could have been Game of the Year if it was next year. as in we're in a beta phase right now until then, but they're treating it like a full-on product.
It's been out for more than a year, and it still is not acceptable for a beta product.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah. I mean, I watched top 10 like games that the kind of return back from the grave. And one of those being, and in fact, it was the top one, was No Man's Sky. When No Man's Sky was released, it was not the game that they promised. It wasn't buggy like this is. I mean, you might get the issue where you can't find the parts to build your ship to
you
get off
to
the
have
planet.
Content for your content to be buggy.
Fair. But, I mean, like, if you go and get No Man's Sky right now, it is not much of a walking simulator at all, but it's a full-on... It's basically what they promised from the start. So that's cool. I would love to get to the point where Fallout 76 is what they promised from the start. And that's every week it seems like a new thing. I mean, Nathan and I, we watch the Jimquisition all the time. He's getting sick of doing these videos because there's something horribly broken every single time there's a new patch, which should not happen.
And just random shit. Like, how do you release a patch that, like, fixes some inventory stuff or whatever, and then all of a sudden shooting your gun makes your armor degrade? Like, how does that happen?
Because your engine is really good and the people writing the actual game logic on top of it have no fucking clue what they're doing.
No, it was...
Chat pointed out that if they let the Outer Worlds crew use the creation engine, they could probably make a great game. Yeah, they let the Oblivion crew use their creation engine once, and it was the best 3D Fallout game ever released. And that was despite them giving them less than a year to make their game and fucking them over as hard as they could.
It didn't... That one, if I remember correctly, did not get off the ground without a severe rocky start, but it was turned around fairly quickly.
Yeah, like as within a couple weeks, they had patched out most of the bugs. But yeah, the launch of New Vegas was buggy as all hell because it was built on the creation engine and they didn't have the time they needed.
Yeah.
And then, of course, famously, because of that, it got an 84% on Metacritic. And Bethesda had said if you don't get 85%, you don't get your bonus for designing the game. So because of that 1%, they... kept like millions of dollars from
and that's subjective. That's full on subjective too. And it's also so
fucking dumb.
I mean, like right now, I'm sure No Man's Sky does not have a good rating in most places. But if you would grade the game now as it appears, that's the grade it should be.
Because nobody goes back and re-ranks a game after it's been patched.
Yeah,
like I've heard that Battlefront 2, the Star Wars loot box extravaganza from last year, is actually good now.
Because
they revamped the entire thing, so the loot boxes aren't tied to your progression system anymore, and they rebalanced a bunch of stuff, and they fixed a lot of the actual bugs that were in it. I've heard it's actually a fun game now.
And Final Fantasy 14 was so poorly received that they immediately came out with an expansion that basically rewrote the entire game.
That's one of the games that came back from the grave too. After 14 came out, they're like. Bleh.
Also, side note: one of the things that was good about that game from the start and is still great, the soundtrack to Final Fantasy 14 is amazing. If you just want some good music to listen to while doing stuff, that is a great soundtrack. Every song in Final Fantasy 14 slaps like a motherfucker. Alexander Brute Justice, hell yeah. Listen to that on loop for an hour. Of course, they got Clash on Big Bridge. Everybody likes Clash on Big Bridge or Battle on Big Bridge, depending on the translation. It's Gilgamesh's theme from Final Fantasy V.
Nope. The last time I played a Final Fantasy was Final Fantasy IX, the remake, and I stopped.
Gilgamesh is on that one.
I mean,
Final Fantasy 14
is an MMO that is actually worth a playthrough, just getting it and playing it as a single-player game.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody here played Phantasy Star Online?
Nope.
I played Phantasy Star Online. Apparently 2 is getting a North American release next year, and I was probably going to pick it up. Just to see, because Phantasy Star Online, the first one was not deep, but was enjoyable.
Okay. I didn't have the internet capabilities back when that was out, and that was one I was kind of interested in, but I got WoW, so.
I mean, it's kind of like, Phantasy Star Online was, it was more Diablo-ish than other traditional MMOs, but I mean, you had character progression, you had a lot of loot, and you run around shooting or stabbing stuff to get loot, and there were robots and sound effects and science fiction stuff and spells and bolters and stuff like that.
Sure.
So I'll probably pick it up. I will probably pick it up when the new one gets an actual North American release, only 3 or 4 years after the Japanese release.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, Bethesda. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just Bethesda. I mean, I had the same comment with Borderlands 3, is that Borderlands 3 was a good game, but after playing through it, I could realize that the engine was the engine was bulletproof, because the people writing the game on top of the engine just made mistake after mistake, but it never crashed.
Yeah, but you couldn't run it optimally. And like, for all the games that I've ever played on my console, I've never had a game where I had to downgrade the visuals on it in order to get it to run properly on my system. There's like two modes that you can run it on the PS4.
It being
Borderlands 3.
Okay.
So where I had to actually run a different version of it in order for it to run optimally on my system. Hmm. And I had the PS4 Pro. So it's weird. It's coming from, like, I just plug and play, and then maybe there's a patch to download, but I just plug and play. I don't have to worry about fucking drivers or anything on my system.
You shouldn't fuck drivers. They need to pay attention to the road.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Sorry.
There's that Charlie Sheen movie. Was it The Chase? The Getaway?
It was, I think it was The Getaway, I want to say. It's a really bad film.
Sure. It is. It is. I mean, you can tell because it's a Charlie Sheen movie.
Nope.
I know. He's in some good movies. He was in Men at Work.
He was in Young Ones. No, Young Ones.
Charlie Sheen was Vivian in Young Ones.
He was Rick.
Young Guns.
Young Guns.
The Hot Shots.
Hot Shots. Yeah, both the Hot Shots films. Those were, thank God, were made during that time when the Zuckers, they were able to use that formula.
Speaking of Hot Shots, mm-hmm. Who gives a shit about, like, really fucking Top Gun 2? No one cares. Go away.
I don't remember anything from Top Gun 1.
He flies a jet. The end. He bangs the chick. They sing a song. You lost the love and feeling sequence. Remember that?
Wasn't that in Ghost?
No. But like, no
one. It was Unchained Melody.
Gives a shit about Top Gun. Like, we remember it. It was an 80s classic. We've moved on with our lives. And more indicatively, no one gives a shit about fighter planes anymore.
No.
There are no enemy fighter planes. What's he going to do? Just fly around jerking off?
I think that's the premise of the film.
If he flew like an A-10 and was like shooting
a Warthog?
Yeah. If he was flying a Warthog, a Thunderbolt 2, whatever you want to call him, that's a plane that gets used.
I'm sorry, sir. That is a Cobra Rattler?
Fucking fighter jets, they don't do anything anymore.
That's the plot of the film, I bet. It's gonna be like.
It's not just that; it's that we're replacing the top guns with drones. Anyway,
sure, and I get that can be the point of the movie, like that he's a dinosaur, his kind isn't needed anymore. I get that, but then his kind of movie also isn't needed. Or what's your climax gonna be? Is it gonna turn out that there's a secret terrorist cell that has some fighter jets and he has to fly against them? Mm-hmm. If so, fuck you.
But I mean, apparently the movie is about him training people, and it's like, why the fuck do we care about training fighter pilots now that we have drones?
Yeah.
We just have Iron Eagle 4 then.
I don't...
Is Iron Eagle 4... Does that exist?
I didn't know there was a 3.
There's a 3.
There's one Louis Gossett Jr. movie that I give a shit about.
Is that The Watchmen?
No. Is he in Watchmen?
Yeah.
Who's he in Watchmen?
I can't really say because it's a spoiler.
What?
In the series, the HBO series.
Okay, well, that's not a movie. I said there's one Louis Gossett Jr. movie that I care about. So I'm thinking of the Watchmen movie, and I'm like, what the fuck? There ain't no Louis Gossett Jr. in there.
He kind of is in there.
Louis Gossett Jr., enemy mine. That's it. Nothing else matters. I don't give a shit about Iron Eagle.
That show.
Iron Eagle is the RC-10 to Top Gun to Coca-Cola.
To be really honest, though, I love Enemy Mine.
Enemy Mine's a great movie.
If you're a fan of the podcast, you've heard us talk about Enemy Mine before. And
it's a pun.
I feel, I feel that an Enemy Mine could be made into just a regular sci-fi television series.
Chat, you did not miss talk about The Mandalorian because one of the people here hasn't watched episode 8 yet.
I haven't seen episode 8. I heard there's some punting going on.
I haven't seen it either.
You haven't seen any of it?
I haven't seen any of them.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Get up to date with your Star Wars.
Dragon Quest 11 right now.
I mean, that's fair. I got that in the mail. I forgot at work that they have a system where you can like give people kudos and then they get like Chuck E. Cheese bucks to spend online on shit. And the year-end reminder of the program came out and it...
But it's the IMDb page and it is only showing...
It's the only movie at the top.
Anyway, I used my work kudos points to get Mortal Kombat 11 and Dragon Quest 11.
Yeah, I got a copy of Dragon Quest XI for my middle kid for Christmas, and my wife picked it up, and then I picked it up, and then I got a second copy so my wife and I could play at the same time.
I'm just looking at his movies.
Anyway, yeah, the only like Mandalorian talk I'll mention, and it isn't episode 8 spoiler, it's just a general premise of the show. From episode 1, and then again in 7, I believe he's reintroduced. But IG-11 is either my second or fifth favorite IG droid in the Star Wars universe, depending on how you count them. And I thought that that was a clever thing for me to say.
Okay.
But apparently, people at this table don't know enough about the EU for that to be a joke that they get.
No.
Hopefully you, dear listener,
it must be eight.
Got my cleverness.
Because I've seen 7. Yeah, what? He's not in 7.
He's in 7.
Oh, yes, he is in 7. Never mind.
Yeah, he's definitely in 7.
He's definitely in 7.
He's definitely in 7.
I remember now. Yes, okay.
Anyway, I have faith in our listeners that some of them went, ha, Nathan's funny because depending on how you count him, he's either the second or fifth because depending on...
Explain.
No.
Further explain. You want a cracker?
No. I have some gummy bears. IG-88, he found 3 other IG droids that hadn't been programmed yet, and so he downloaded his personality into them. So there were 4 IG-88s. And so depending if that's 1 or 4, that makes... There was also a droid that already had a personality put into it. There's IG-72, and he teamed up with the 4 IG-88s. He ended up dying, but it is neat because in the X-Wing game, you can normally only have like one of each person piloting. You can have up to 4 IG-88s because of that, and the more IG-88s you have in your group, they actually have a passive ability where they help each other out because you know they're interfaced. Also, IG-88A, the original IG-88, was the Death Star during the Battle of Endor in Return of the Jedi.
Okay,
he had downloaded his. Programming and his artificial intelligence had taken over the ship's command, and so that was his body. And he was going to transmit his programming out to every droid in the universe and in the galaxy. But
thank God for those Ewoks.
Wedge and Lando took him out before he could.
And Nia Nub.
Wedge! My boy Wedge! Fucking Wedge, am I
Wedge.
Right?
Yeah.
God, I came so hard. Raylene was like, why are you ejaculating so violently?
I thought it was Anthony Daniels.
You son of a bitch.
When he was originally quoted back when The Force Awakens showed up, he was like, oh, I'm too good for that.
I think he was just busy.
He kind of said that it was like...
He wanted to move on with his life.
Yeah, he didn't want to deal with that or in that.
Well, I'm glad he changed his mind.
What, for a 2-second clip?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Those two seconds were magical.
At least one out of 3 people thought he was Anthony Daniels. Using the math from this table. I did. I really thought he did. I thought, that's really cool. He's out of his suit.
Like, poor Anthony Daniels had to push so hard for C-3PO to have a heroic moment. He finally won. Because apparently, like, back in the day, he would talk to Lucas over and over. He's like, you know, I think this is a spot where C-3PO, you know, could do this. And Lucas was just like, nah, he's too scared. Nah, he's scared. Well, he could do this. Nope. Coward. 3PO's too scared to do anything.
Yeah. I liked his arc in this film. That was probably one of the more enjoyable parts of it. And then R2 had to fuck it all up. I'm sure you know, I remember somebody though? Like you.
Now C-3PO doesn't remember his deep friendship with Baba Frisk.
Yeah.
A lifetime bond they had.
Well, I mean, did they ever specify? No, because he forgot the mission. He forgot the mission.
Yeah.
So they did specify he lost everything.
It was a reset to his pre-mission memory.
Well, there was some people talking that they might have been able to actually restore his memory to back before the twins were born.
Well, that would have been really awkward. Back to when Darth Vader built him. Fuck you, Lucas.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, out of all the things that you could have intertwined, that was not a thing that absolutely... We've talked about this
shit
already.
Every stormtrooper doesn't need to be Boba Fett's dad. Fuck you. Fuck.
Come on, C-3PO is the main character of the whole series. He's the only one in all... he's the only one that has speaking parts in all 9 movies.
Oh... How dare you? God damn it. R2.
He doesn't have speaking parts, though.
Well, now that's just racist.
Sure.
You don't count those beeps and bloops as an actual language?
Mm-hmm. No.
Wow. Wow.
The bad lip reading people put on another video. It's not as good as seagulls.
Yeah, I mean,
It was meh.
Yep. Meh. There was a better one than Seagulls. There was one with Obi-Wan singing about some stuff from a couple years ago.
I like Seagulls. Yeah. That one actually still is catchy to me. But the newest one, like My Stick or some shit.
Yeah, I saw it on the YouTubes. I did not click it.
No, I clicked it, and I wish I didn't because it was not very good.
Nope. I don't care about the bad lip reading people anymore. I'm done with them.
You don't like the Game of Thrones Happy Fun Time Land?
Yeah, it was like 5 years ago.
And that was, I think it was longer than that.
Yeah, this is fine. It's gone. I don't care about you anymore. I have no malice towards them. I just don't care. They're old. The internet's moved on.
Yeah.
Louis Gossett Jr. has been in a lot of movies.
He's only been in one that I care about. I defy you to find a second Louis Gossett Jr. movie that I give a shit about.
Jaws 3D.
Nope. That movie. Oh, my Lord. When they kill the shark because there's been a guy living in its mouth for the entire movie. You remember that, David?
No, I haven't seen this.
Jaws, the shark, we'll just call him Jaws because everybody treats it like a proper name. So Jaws goes to eat a guy. But the Jaws in Jaws 3D is so big because to be scary, the shark has to be bigger and bigger. So it actually just like takes the whole guy into his mouth and then the guy's just stuck in its mouth for the rest of the movie. But it never comes up. The shark just runs around eating people. And then at the end of the movie, like they see the dude in the shark's mouth and he's just like, hey, I'm just here. I'm still alive. And so they like toss him a grenade and he pulls the pin and it blows the shark up.
I think we found a movie we need to watch, Nathan.
He's just been living in there the whole movie.
Okay.
Like the shark's mouth is like a camping tent.
This is a 3.8 what out movie? Of 10. It's called Pride of Lions, but the poster has...
I think I've heard of this one before.
Is the Dependables.
The Dependables? Is they're it like old. The Expendables, but they're even older? Because the Expendables is... What the fuck is that? Is it
Margot Kidder?
Who the fuck is... No. This is not... You have not won the competition. That is not a Louis Gossett Jr. movie that I give a shit about.
Look at that. Look at that poster, though. But the thing is, though, it's called Pride of Lions. I don't know if that's a mix-up and just nobody has corrected it yet.
What?
But it's called the poster says the Dependables.
Yeah, a lot of movies have alternate titles. Either regional differences or they change the title like close to the release date. You'll find that a lot, especially the shitty low budget horror movies. But well, I mean speaking of Star Wars, like Revenge of the Sith versus or Revenge of the Jedi versus Return of the Jedi, you know? So
yeah.
You'll see that. I'm sure it was either a regional thing or they changed the name shortly before release for legal reasons.
No, he was Lucius Fox in The Batman, the animated series. Not Batman animated series, just The Batman. That was in 2012.
Nope. You know, not a movie.
I am mildly surprised at that I am aware of Louis Gossett Jr.'s name and that he hasn't actually been in anything.
There's only one guy that I'm not wrong. Like, no. You're all scroll through a whole bunch of garbage. That guy has had a career of utter shit.
He was in Roots.
Yeah, miniseries, not a movie, so it doesn't count.
Okay. But I mean that's kind of
you like, almost had me, but miniseries, not a movie, so it doesn't count.
Well, so it was
it's a phenomenal miniseries. I'm not racist. It's not a quality thing.
Why did I get married to?
Nope.
It is confusing how bad his filmography is.
It's not bad. All that means is that he has been gainfully employed for many, many, many years.
You know how a lot of
Bram Stoker's Legend of the Mummy.
Mm-hmm. So. So a lot of like actors, they'll have the thing where they do like one good movie and then one shitty movie to pay the bills, and they'll go back and forth, and you can kind of, you know, have that bifurcation of their career. Louis Gossett Jr. is one of those people that only does the latter of those two options. It's like, oh my good, my boy. Like, he had a lot of good movies, but not for the last 20 years or so. But my boy, fucking Doc Emmett Brown, Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
Look at Christopher Lloyd's IMDb page for anything since.
Oh, yeah.
The Deep.
The Deep?
Yeah.
Oh, with the, yeah, with the like in the late 70s, the with the eel that eats the guy's face and the see-through shirt that I remember from my childhood.
Yes, and also the...
Is that Adrian Bordeaux in the see-through shirt?
Probably.
All right, The Deep's a solid film. I'll grant you that. But you did have to go back 40 years to find
a movie. I'm scrolling up from those 40 years.
Okay.
So,
well, good luck finding
the Deep was Officer and Gentleman. I mean, that's... All right. That was a good one, too. But, I mean, he... Majority of his films, yes.
He won in 1982. He won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor in An Officer and a Gentleman.
Yeah,
and then in 1983, he was nominated with a Golden Raspberry for Worst Supporting Actor in Jaws 3D.
Yeah,
well, Jaws 3D is horrible.
Yeah,
Iron Eagle 2. He was in The Punisher.
Which The Punisher is that? The
Dolph Lundgren one. Mm-hmm.
Where, like, the guy talks about being a thespian and it confuses people because it's a big word and they think he means lesbian. Remember that whole scene?
I don't remember that. The old Punisher. Oh,
Lord Almighty. There's a reason you don't remember the old Punisher.
Oh, this is classic. Dick's I'm looking Town? At Louis Gossett Jr.'s filmography on Wikipedia, and several of these films do not have links on Wikipedia or have red links.
Are we the world's number one Louis Gossett Jr. podcast now?
There was a Iron Eagle 4, so maybe it'd have to be Iron Eagle 5.
I'm going to go out on a limb and assume Iron Eagle 4 did not have a theatrical release.
When Chappie Sinclair is saddled with a bunch of misfits and delinquents for his flight school, he turns to his protege, Doug Masters, to assist him in sharpening them for an important...
Doug, your boy Chappie needs help. I gotta reach these kids.
During their training, they stumble upon a group of subversive U.S. Air Force officers who are dealing in toxic waste as a sideline.
Oh, remember when everybody gave a shit about toxic waste?
That is a 3.3 out of 10 for Iron Eagle 4.
That's better than Cats.
It is better than Cats.
Yes. Speaking of toxic waste, did you see the green slime that's leaking in Detroit?
Poor Detroit.
Detroit is like a Dark Souls game now, because it's like one of the pictures from the articles. It was like, yeah, that's the poison themed area from Dark Souls.
White Town.
Yeah.
Feed me more Louis Gossett Jr., Andy.
I'm looking.
Or go on to Zappy Grops, because we're about that time.
My phone is currently being used to look up more of Louis Gossett Jr. stuff. He was in Half-Life 2. He was Vortigaunt.
I mean,
That's right. He did do the voice of the Vortigaunts.
Oh, he was in Left Behind 3.
Was he also the Vortigaunt?
No, World at War. You know, Left Behind, right?
I was thinking Left 4 Dead.
No, Left Behind is what's his face from
Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, his
Jeebus movies.
Jeebus, yeah.
Where the rapture takes all the good Christians away.
Yeah, Half-Life 2.
I mean, that was also before like games had ridiculous budgets.
You know, getting your boy Louis Gossett Jr. Yeah. to play the Vortigaunt.
Yeah, he's got a whole bunch of films in the can right now, and he looked very old in the Watchmen, but he plays a very cool character. If you don't care about spoilers, I'll tell you off the air.
All right, Zappity.
Are you interested in watching that? It's actually
I'll get around to watching it. All right. I got to watch that. I have to finish I got a bunch of episodes of the Church the Stephen King thing.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's the Stephen King one.
Broadchurch?
No. Church probably isn't in it at all.
It's Castle Rock.
Castle Rock. Jesus. A castle is like a church. Castle Rock. I got to watch like the last three or four episodes of Castle Rock from this season.
Does that have Chris Rock in it?
Yes. And Roderick Castle.
Frank Castle.
Yes. He's a thespian.
Sure.
That's a callback.
We have a serious question from our first listener of
about
our Serious
XM
Crumbles.
Radio.
No, Sirius.
Yeah, Sirius, the radio people.
Not Sirius.
The Dog Star.
Not that place. What would be the best or least complex, as it were, miniature game to introduce children to? I think HeroClix.
HeroClix is pretty easy.
Fairly simple, and it's very miniature related.
Grid based.
Yep.
It's something grid based, you know, because measurement can really be an issue. And kids either intentionally or unintentionally are going to be sloppy with their measurements and everything like that. So grid based is going to make your life easier. So HeroClix is a great idea.
What's the Star Wars grid based click ish one?
I didn't know there was one.
I mean,
obviously, as Privateer Press fans, Monpok is an easy one to go for. But HeroClix does have the advantage of, you know, there's going to be their favorite characters there. If they're big fans of the Avengers, get some Avengers clicky clacks and whatever.
I was thinking of just like the old, like anything for the HeroClix or any of the clicks.
Yeah, sure. But my point is, it's such a broad. You know, like one of the things we always talk about is when people are like, what faction should I play? It's find the models you like and go with it. You know, the gameplay will come secondary. And so if somebody's a big fan of Batman, they're going to play those Batman clicks. If they're a big fan of the X-Men, there's the X-Men clicks. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So that's a good one for that. Otherwise, you could go back in time a couple weeks and back Necromolds. And then when that comes out a year from now, you can have Necromolds. Or you can play with my copy because I backed it because I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you find your Star Wars one?
Yeah, apparently it went out of production in 2010. But I've seen people playing it in the past 3 years.
Yeah.
And that it was common for the people I knew that played it to play it with their kids.
It's something grid-based. That's my go-to thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, something that's, well, I mean, if you're playing with kids, something that's indestructible, too.
And pre-painted helps, too.
Pre-painted. That's why I was thinking WizKids, because they're pretty much indestructible. And
go on the eBay and find some HeroScape.
I don't know. That's actually really fucking expensive.
It is really fucking expensive now.
It's annoying because I was going to get some HeroScape stuff to replace my for God tier.
God tier.
Go tier.
All right. All right, Zappity.
Grubba.
If you could make a brand new mixed drink called the Crippled System, what would it be?
So once upon a time... So I like the Captain. I like Long Island iced teas. Mm-hmm. They're a good drink, gets you drunk, delicious. So I oftentimes have the Captain Morgan's pre-mixed Long Island iced tea, just jug.
Woo! Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Where did you find that?
The hell is happening over there? What is going on?
I'm eating a cracker, but I really, really want to know where do you find that.
In the grocery store.
Where?
Woodman's.
Fuck!
Yeah. Woodman's.
I know they've got it at Metro Market, too.
Yeah.
I'm fancy.
They don't have it
at the Pick and Saves and the Piggly Wigglies.
Fuck.
But Woodman's has it. I think I've seen it at Walmart, too.
Because it's really good.
It is good. So anyway, the Captain Morgan's Long Island Iced Tea Mix. So once upon a time, I was going to go and pour myself a pint of that, you know, my standard after work pint. I drink it by the pint. I drink everything by the pint.
It's supposed to be a mixed drink, Nathan.
No, it's pre-mixed.
It's pre-mixed. Yeah.
I know you should be.
You can just chug it straight out of the bottle.
It's full done, as is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't need to add the Coke or anything. It's full, ready to drink as is.
Okay.
And so I go, and there's only like, you know, like when you're a kid and they'd have the bottle of water in the fridge because that's where you'd have the cold water, and whoever finished it had to refill it, and mm-hmm. so everybody would leave like a molecule of water on the bottom of the water bottle.
Yeah.
My stepdaughter had done that to me with my Captain Morgan's Long Island Iced Tea Mix. So I pour in a thimble in my glass. I'm like, shit, well, now I'm pot committed. I want Long Island Iced Tea. I don't know how to make a Long Island Iced Tea. So I look on the bottle, and the bottle says that it has like rum, gin.
I mean, the way you make a Long Island iced tea is you reach into your liquor cabinet, you pick out like four different bottles, pour it together, and splash some Coke on top of it.
The Coke is an important part because the bottle said like rum, gin,
cola. I don't think there's gin.
It didn't mention cola. It did include gin because I remember, but it was like rum, gin, whatever the four things were. Rum, gin, tequila, and whiskey. I'll just say those four, even though those probably aren't the four. So I read that, and my brain's like, oh, it must just be equal quantities of these four things. So I filled a pint glass up with an equal mix of those four hard alcohols, and then I drank that fucker down, and my Facebook posts for the remainder of that night were amazing.
Yeah, there is gin in it.
Yeah, I remember because I hate gin, but I put it in there because it said gin, and the gin's what did me in. My guess is the gin is not 25% of that recipe.
I mean, it's usually, I mean, it's like about a half or a third sour mix with a splash of cola. But I think the sour mix was not listed
on the bottle either.
Okay.
The bottle just said, what are the four hard alcohols on there?
Gin, tequila, vodka, rum, and triple sec.
Yeah. So I just mixed equal parts gin, tequila, vodka, and rum. Mm-hmm. So a quarter of a pint of each of those. So like a half cup of each of those four alcohols into a glass and then just drank it down. And my Facebook posts were amazing for the rest of the night.
I fell asleep on the stairs. I agree. I would like to call that the crippled system.
It crippled my system hard. I was fucking crippled as all get out.
So it's a quarter of a pint tequila.
Rum, gin, and
vodka.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Fill a pint glass with equal parts.
What's a quarter of a pint? Yeah, I was gonna see how many ounces.
4 ounces.
I could do the math, but because it's going to be an eighth of a gallon, 16 ounces. So it's 4 ounces each.
I just said that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we
I verified.
Well, Nathan, we're trying not to repeat ourselves here.
We always repeat ourselves. So. We should try it out. We should find out which ones are going to be the best mix. You think you would need some triple sec in there though, because it has nice flavor than fucking pine needles.
This did not taste like a Long Island iced tea. This tasted like a crippled system.
I mean, I was just gonna say half and half lemon juice and Irish cream.
No, that curdles, and that's the worst.
Also, make sure you go to www.indiestorm.net. That's www.indiestorm.net.
If you're looking for crippled systems there, that's not where you get them.
I probably will have some crippled systems there. Because I'll play badly in the tournament, and my jacks will die. Anyway, yeah, that's mine.
All right, so let me make sure I got this right. So that is tequila, some gin, vodka and rum.
Yep, 4 ounces of each.
I only need three other bottles to get, and I can have this.
Yeah,
it meant business.
You could really taste the gin. You could fucking really taste the gin.
Yeah, we should.
The bottle didn't mention, you know, sour mix or cola. I thought that was a recipe.
We should try that.
I have tried it.
I mean, though, I mean, yeah, but with. Was it drinkable though?
I mean,
you
when
drank
I first
it.
Started drinking, I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of gin. And then by the time I was done with it, I was like, okay with it.
Oh, yeah. For the next convention, we'll have to make up some special crippled system. Just have like a giant camel backpack filled with it.
When that night comes back up on my Facebook memories, I'll post it somewhere. Because you have to like translate what I'm typing because it is not English, but you can kind of figure it out.
How long ago was this? Was this in the last year?
No. This was at I still lived at Fitchburg.
Oh, okay.
So like 3-4 years ago.
So I can give you my system crippling drink recipe.
Yeah.
Because this is my personal margarita recipe that every time you make a pitcher, you end up making another pitcher, and whatever event you put it at devolves into a drunken mess.
Sure.
So you take a you get one of the a frozen concentrate limeade container.
Mm-hmm.
You empty that into a blender.
Yep.
You fill it up with you fill up the
limeade
the canister.
Container. Yep.
Yeah. You fill it up with tequila, then with triple sec, then with Sprite, and then add a splash of orange juice on top of that, and then fill up the container to the top with ice and blend it. And once people start drinking this, on about the third one, they'll start to realize how much alcohol is in it.
But by then,
it's too late.
It's too late because there's 2.5 more coming.
And also, it helps. Also, you have to get mid-range tequila. It doesn't work if you get really good tequila or really bad tequila. So mid-range tequila and get cheap store brand limeade, and it works better.
Oh, yeah. Mid-range everything. Like no, when it comes to alcohol, well, no. But I mean, like when I'm stocking my bar with alcohol, it's mid-range everything.
Yeah,
you don't want trash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get the gallon plastic jug of Fleischmann's gin. You know, but also none of the shit that costs $100 a bottle is worth it.
Yeah,
no,
it's like wine.
Liver will process it all the same.
Yeah, it's alcohol is just like pizza and barbecue. All the same, unless you get the really, really good or really, really trash.
Yes.
Yes.
I know I agreed with Nathan for the drink, but I think we could probably call it an official crippled system drink.
We've had
two of them. One is the Blind Russian, which is just basically.
That's the official drink of crippled system, but it isn't a drink that's called the crippled system.
Yeah, I guess both of mine would not be called crippled system because the other one is the amazing discovery of A&W root beer and Fireball.
Oh, sure.
Because that was on the Troll Blood cast that we found out that was an amazing drink that
what Raylene got. We went down to the Renaissance Festival in Bristol. Mm-hmm. And they were selling a thing they called an Angry Apple, and that was a shot of Fireball in a pint of hard cider. And that was actually pretty delicious.
Even just getting cider and then putting Fireball into it. That's how I tricked my mom into drinking some.
Yeah. But this was hard cider, not just like here's
just,
some
apple
cider. Just
regular cider, yeah.
Yeah, so this was double alcohol. It's like, doing the lunch boxes or the Irish car bombs, but
yeah. It's very tasty.
Mm-hmm. Because the thing with those is that they're terrible, so you don't overdrink on those.
Some are actually really, really strong.
Like an Irish car bomb is really, really strong, but it also is curdling in your mouth as you're drinking it.
Oh, yeah,
So you're not going to drink, it's not easy drinking, so you're not going to drink 5 or 6 of them.
Like a cement mixer.
Right,
or
exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas that Angry Apple thing went down, it just tasted like spiced apple cider. And you could drink 3 or 4 of those, and that was 6 or 8 drinks, and by then it's too late. By then it's David's
it's too
margarita
late. I've seen it all.
I also reinvented the fuzzy navel at one point. That was just randomly mixing stuff.
That's just poor hygiene.
Sure. Yeah. I would mix it together, and at one point Cassie was like, can you make that thing you did before? And I was like, I found out it's called a fuzzy navel. What? I was like, that's
turns out if you come up with a good idea, it's probably already been come up with.
All right, Grumble!
Ah.
What would the crippled system archon be like? I was thinking about just like a fat like Nurgle style beast on a toilet.
I was thinking it would be kind of like chess.
Or but, Chet from Weird Science?
No, it would be like chess, but yeah. You had to take like five spots on the board, and like two of them, like one would be black and one would be white, and then the three in the middle would shift colors between black and white mm-hmm. constantly. And uh-huh. and then you could like move your pieces, and then like when they moved onto each other, there'd be a little one-on-one battle that
mm-hmm.
happened.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's the crippled system Archon.
It's just Archon.
Right, but okay. it's our, in our heart, it's the one and only Archon.
I think he was talking about like a what are the Archons? More of just kind of like a deity of some
they're
sort.
Angels.
They're angels.
Yeah.
I was thinking that ours would just be like a ours pop a Nurgle on a toilet.
It could be like the actual realistic, like accurate to how they're described in the Bible, where there's like a wheel with a lion's head in the middle and 1,000 flaming eyes around the rim.
Well, that's
a seraph. That's yeah. a specific type yeah. of angel. They're like lots of angels.
Correct. And none of them are sexy people with white wings.
No.
They're all horrific monsters. Yes. They're all Lovecraftian, nonsensical, abstract shapes.
Yeah.
So that's the shit I want. I want the many angled ones from Section 8 to be our Archon. Like fucking straight up Bayonetta-style angels.
He can draw his head, and it's going to be a face of a dog. I'm quoting from Joe Rogan's comedy thing when he was talking about the pyramids and how... You know, all the smart people died, and so all the dumb people from the workers and that, and they went there and they drew on the walls and shit. Yeah.
Go on.
Make sure you carry the pots on their heads, because that needs to be drawn in. Zappity!
Grumble. I don't know either.
You need to watch it. It's good. What is one tabletop game you would like to see made into a video game? And what is one video game that you'd like to see made into a tabletop game? The original version would no longer exist.
Whoa, we have to erase the other one. That's a wrinkle to this action.
I'd like Chutes and Ladders to be made into a video game, into a VR game, into a horror-style VR game.
Well, then you'd probably more want Snakes and Ladders, because then you get the scary snakes coming at you.
Well, you could just mix them. You could put them in. They could be a day one patch. Actually, day two patch. They would release the game as being very child-friendly game, and the day two patch would be just, oh my God.
What about like a real hard-boiled, like grizzled, almost like David Fincher 7 detective video game? So think like
Chutes and Ladders?
No. So like kind of like R-rated what was that fucking game?
Clue?
No. No, the video game LA Noir. So yeah. Think like a more hardcore LA Noir video game adaptation of Guess Who.
Okay.
You're interviewing these people and you're like, you know, did the man who raped and murdered your daughter have a beard?
No.
And then you just eliminate all the guys with beards.
No, they would just literally eliminate all the people with beards because they're in a lineup.
No. But we said no; those people are innocent. Oh, are we? Is this like the Shield? Did we like grab them illegally, and so now even though we've proved they're innocent, we can't let them go because they'll testify against us?
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're like the Punisher.
I've never seen the Shield.
So the rules here is that if you do this, it ceases to exist in the
right.
Other
I said I could live without form. Guess Who.
So I'm saying no. It's like no. It's like hold on a second. I said this. There's a better conception here.
You're trying to use this draft, as a hit. Yeah,
we
yeah.
Can hate draft.
That's why I did Chutes and Ladders.
I think it's fine for children's.
Yeah. So can we just have a Fortnite tabletop game and just forget about the whole thing?
Yeah. So if we're gonna hate draft, we can have a Fortnite tabletop game and we can have a Munchkin video game.
Oh, this sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah. Munchkin as a video game might be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they can easily put a time limit on it. No, but actually, to be honest with you, a Fortnite tabletop game would be kind of neat. You could do it where you would. You've seen the games in that where you flick around parts and stuff like that. Yeah. You could do it like that, where you build a fort, and then you fight off a horde of zombies that come after. Oh, that's what it was originally going to be.
But just listen.
But then they had a mod and that everybody actually played.
I'm like, you're just describing 99-player Crokinole.
What?
Crokinole.
Oh, I think I played that.
Maybe. It's like a round shuffleboard style game. It's really good.
Yeah.
But boards cost, you know, hundreds of dollars. So.
Colefoot's got one.
Really?
Yep.
I believe it. But yeah, yeah, we can hate draft it. So Fortnite board game and Munchkin video game. But the Munchkin video game isn't like 99-player online. It's just like 4-player max hot seat party game.
All right. So reflections on your gaming decade. Highs, lessons learned, aims for the next decade.
Oh, yeah. This is our New Year's special, isn't it?
This is the last one of the year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of the decade.
No, the decade technically ends next year.
Yeah, yeah, because there was no year zero. It started on 1, so it's 1 through 10, 11 through 20, and so on. That is incredibly valid, and I stipulated that really gung-ho for year 2000.
Yeah.
Because year 2000 was not the first year of the new millennium.
Yeah, I'll take over that fight for this year.
Thank you. Nobody would, they did not give a shit.
No one cares.
No one cares. Yeah.
I was going to say that was even too pedantic for me because I wanted to say it's like, no, not yet. But I didn't want to be that guy. But fortunately, Andy is here to be that guy.
Yeah. Nope. Fuck it. Now I'm not going to answer the question for another 52 weeks.
Yeah. I'm going to, I will be the person that pushes your robot into the deep sea.
What?
That's because I was killing robots yesterday.
What?
I was killing robots.
What?
Robots. Yesterday in WoW, I was killing robots. People, there were robot players.
It's board games. Board games.
You should aspire to be more like Brian and have more games because you have more room.
Yes.
Or you could convince Brian to move in with you.
I tried because he's moving out of his current place. But I'm like this year, I'm going to look into painting all of my a shitload of miniatures, but I'm not going to paint my miniatures game miniatures. I'm going to paint the little people and monsters who come with Mansions of Madness.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all those little cultists and deep ones and hybrids and stuff. I'm going to paint those guys. I don't need to paint my war machine. And I've got my Monolith Conan models and, you know, paint those up. War games are fun. And I just take it less seriously. Just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I really want to paint my Deep Madness models.
Sure.
So
go ahead.
Cool fucking looking.
So paint them.
Yep. I want to play. I also want to play Deep Madness too because nobody else seems to be playing it over here.
But I've embraced being mediocre. I don't care.
I need to find more time to play. Although this next year is going to be fucking busy. So.
I mean, I guess I should say, as far as gaming related, you know, my height, of course, is going to be the creation and implementation and continued success of the America's Team Championships.
Mm. On a related note, my high of the decade is probably gaming high of the decade is probably winning the Wisconsin Team Championship twice.
Yeah. Well, the ATC down. I think there's only like 4 or 5 slots left for this year, which is really exciting because. You know, there were some naysayers when we switched to Adepticon. They were a little worried that would hurt
naysayers.
Attendance. And yeah, it's already got 27 teams signed up, and there's three months still to go.
I mean, it's our best attendance ever so far. I mean, at least for signups. We didn't have 32 teams ever.
Yeah, I mean, around there. I thought we had like 30-ish, but yeah, I don't think we hit the full 32. And there's still some time, so we'll see.
Yep.
Be really exciting if we filled up this year, but even if not, like we were expecting with this changeover that we might have a drop in attendance, and twas not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fact that like almost like 17 teams were signed up day one.
Yep,
which is that. I mean, that to me is insane. Yep. I mean, most people are usually just being lazy about it until like day before cutoff date, and we're like, oh, I got to sign up. Now you have to sign up, otherwise you're probably end up not being able to sign up.
Yep.
Yeah.
For me, I guess probably over the last decade, the creation and the success and the eventual degradation of who's the boss.
Hey, we made a podcast this decade too.
Mm-hmm. We did. And that's not important.
Yeah, it's the pain train.
Also, I made a gaming website, although I'm not sure how much I count that as a gaming thing, but yeah, I did that.
Yeah, nobody cares, though.
Yeah.
Nobody uses that on a regular basis for anything.
The end of this semester when I was so busy, somebody from Privateer Press pinged me on Facebook to make sure I was okay.
I forgot to mention that somebody from Privateer had asked me too. What's up with David? We haven't seen him in a while. We have people asking if he's okay. That was at the time too. I think we were a couple of weeks out from the podcast too. Mm. So yeah, people were wondering what the hell was going on. And aims for the next decade.
I'm hoping to die.
Next podcast, I'm planning on doing something different for an intro and try some new things. I don't think they're going to work, but I'm going to try them. We'll see if people like them or not. I'd like to expand this into, rather than just us talking about, which we don't anyway, about War Machine Hordes, but I'd like to expand it so we have a little bit more audience to... You know, start advertising other places, actually do things with our Patreon and other things.
We could do the things, the stuff. You know, that thing that I was looking at today that I didn't tell you about because it was at home and I didn't mention it to any of you.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good idea.
We should probably try that. That probably definitely help.
We'd be good
out.
At it.
My feet are fucking freezing.
Right now. I told you it was cold down here.
Oh, you're almost... Well, you've got socks on, at least. I have barefoot.
You got long sleeves. No, movie commentary tracks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The kids love their movie commentary tracks. Yeah. Put those behind a Patreon wall. Bing, bang, boom. Something for all the people to enjoy.
We wanted to do one that was just all voices. So we could possibly...
To do a revoice track.
Track where, you know, we could do The Godfather. And every time The Godfather is on the screen, we're just... The Merman will be doing the voice of him.
Yeah. But which Godfather?
Godfather 3.
No. I meant in The Godfather, because there's Vito Corleone is the Godfather at the beginning of the film, mm-hmm. and then he dies, and then Michael Corleone becomes the Godfather at the end. So at the beginning, you'd have to have Michael Corleone's voice be different, but then by the end, he shifts into Merman to illustrate that he has become the Godfather, truly.
Yeah, I can add some extra to that. Okay. Voice too.
Sounds like a plan. You do that.
Yes.
I'll do Fredo. Okay. That's my Fredo. That's all I'm going to do.
You're just going to record it once and just have the soundboard?
Meh. I mean, it's like an I am Groot kind of thing. Like, that's really, anytime Fredo's talking, that gets the point across. Although the fun trivia about that actor is, because he died rather young, unfortunately, so every movie he was in won the Academy Award for Best Picture. So he was just like a good luck charm for every movie.
All right. And then David is asking Zappity Grumble. Since this is the episode before a big episode, I don't know what he's talking about. Is that 300 maybe?
That was a bad movie.
300? No.
Yes.
Yes.
It was a very bad movie.
It was a bad movie.
And the sequel was even worse.
Sequel is horrible.
There was a sequel?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You should watch the sequel.
Saw it. Was it direct to video?
No. It came out to the theatrical theaters.
Oh, I wasn't.
And we went and watched it, and it was glorious.
Okay.
What you didn't like about 300?
It was terrible. It was all style, no substance. The substance, like... The ramping shots looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
The entire plot was idiotic.
Yeah. is probably one of the most accurate...
I didn't like knife-armed monster men's and stuff like that. Okay. Like accurate is not a word to describe anything about it.
No, it was accurate. It was accurate.
That's how Thermopylae was?
No, it was accurate to a
Frank
child's...
Miller's batshit insane comic book.
No, it was very accurate to the comic book.
Yeah. Yes.
And also to Frank Miller's retelling of one of his favorite stories as a child.
You know what else? I don't like anything Frank Miller's done in the last like 30 years.
You
like
RoboCop too.
Yeah. How long? Like I said, it's been the last 30 years. When was RoboCop 2?
pretty close to 30 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But freaking.
Keep in mind, Andy, that as of Wednesday, 1990 was literally 30 years ago.
Yeah, shut up.
But they're like, we can't have the Hunchback guy fight with us because it's very important that we stay in ranks so that our shields and spears can protect each other. But every single fight scene is them running off individually to kung fu flip and stab people in slow motion.
Yeah. No, that's not.
Let me give you a taste of the sequel, David.
Okay.
Just watch our our movie Pain Train of that.
Here's the power of storytelling and good taste, Frank Miller. So there's like an
Granted, hold on. I just want to preface this here. That movie, the 300 that were there, was made out of
Frank he Miller had not started. Finished the
he
comic,
started.
Yeah.
He started a new mini series for about the main villain of the film. I can't
villain. Xerxes.
Xerxes. He made a series of Xerxes. Basically, he was only like two issues in before they started the film, and he wasn't even done with it. But anyway,
go. So
yeah,
not all Frank Miller's fault.
There is like an 8-year-old girl.
Yeah,
soldiers come, murder her entire family, and keep her as a rape slave until she's like 18 years old. So for a decade, this girl was just gang raped constantly by these soldiers that murdered her family. Then a man rescues her, and she seeks vengeance against the soldiers who did this to her.
Okay.
She's our villain. You're supposed to root for the soldiers.
What?
Yeah.
That's the beauty of this thing.
You should seriously sit down and watch. What? Watch 300.
She's the villain. Because how dare she want to seek revenge on the Athenian army? How dare she? Isn't she evil?
What?
that's the kind of quality, non-misogynistic storytelling you get out of the 300 films.
300,
Also, I mean, I like...
If you hated 300, you would hate this other movie even worse. Because I like 300.
Gerard Butler's wife is omnisciently narrating the movie. And so you think that maybe it's like a flashback because she's telling this story. But then towards the end of the movie, you find out that she's been narrating the movie live to other people 2,000 miles away from what's happening. So she just knows what's going on.
What?
Yeah. And you forget about this because
they go those 2,000 miles by boat and they row the whole way there. And then when they're like 100 feet away from their destination, that's when they unfurl the sails. And I just imagine how pissed those oarsmen were.
Well, they're slaves, so who cares?
But she was narrating the whole fucking thing live.
Yeah. I didn't realize that you didn't like 300.
I mean, I appreciate the visual aesthetics are really cool. Like the shots of them pushing the guys off the cliff and the ramping stuff. That's really neat stuff. But I have always really enjoyed the story of the Battle of Thermopylae.
Okay.
Because it is an interesting story with a lot of cool. And so
Leonidas was recorded in history of saying some pretty fucking awesome things.
Well, Xerxes is the hero. In real world history, the Persians were bringing literacy and freedom and equality to these lands, whereas the Spartans were slavers and rapers and monsters.
Yeah.
And the battle had interesting tactical stuff. There was the ocean things. There was the Thespians there, and you know, and then along comes Frank Miller with knife hand monster people and goat orgies, and it drove me insane.
Well, because it's not a telling of correct. It's loosely based on that battle,
but it's one of those like a 12-year-old boy thinks this is cool kind of things, and it's just to me it was just too much that.
Okay.
The one thing I will say that 300 did for me was that overhearing a coworker talk to another coworker, these two ladies were talking about how hot the guys were, and I was like, you know, I appreciate when a woman is open enough about her sexuality to be a complete pervert the way that guys normally are perverts about women. And so that was the first time I noticed this coworker, who is now my wife, was her talking about how hot Gerard Butler's abs were in that movie. So I thank you, 300, for that.
I mean, granted, the guys did look pretty good.
They looked pretty fucking good. Hot.
That's what happens when everybody's body is made out of butter, because that's how knives go through everybody in that film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You should watch.
Rise of the Empire is just trash. Like,
you should watch it.
I can understand people who do enjoy the first 300. Like, I don't, but I can understand why the people who do. It's like Eraserhead. I don't like Eraserhead, but I understand the people who like Eraserhead why they like Eraserhead.
I thought 300 was a bad film, but I didn't mind watching it. It was it was enjoyable enough to watch, but it was a bad film.
Rise of the Empire is not even that.
The main hero's secret weapon is
boat horse.
Yeah, which Rise of Skywalker stole from
boat horse. Yeah,
the whole sequence in there. Now think of the sequence that's in Rise of Skywalker of them riding fucking horses on a Star Destroyer up to the thing. The main hero had a horse underneath it. The main hero.
Oh, yeah. Main, M-A-N-E.
Yeah.
And he rides his one horse across like 20 flaming boats to stab a witch. Like, she's way over there on the other side of this naval battle, and there's all these flaming boats, so he just rides his horse across 20 flaming boats to stab a witch.
Wait, so this guy was, you said the good guys were the Athenians?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I get to complain that the Athenians didn't, that the Greeks at the time did not ride horseback?
Well, that's what makes it a secret weapon.
Yeah.
Nobody would expect him to have a horse.
And in fact, he even said that. Are the preparations ready? Is my secret weapon ready? Yeah. Well, yes, sir. And it's a fucking horse!
They brought one horse as a secret weapon, and they had it hidden below decks so that after all the ships rammed each other and were stuck together in a flaming pile...
Sorry, Dave.
After they were all rammed together in a flaming pile, then he could unleash his horse.
God,
single-handedly win the battle against the woman who was angry she'd been gang raped for a decade by the people who murdered her family.
I almost really want to have you watch this because I'll sit through it again to see Dave's misery.
The one good part is the two guards awkwardly standing guard while the main character and the main villainess have really loud sex. Like, you know, she calls him for, like, parlay, and so he goes into her office, and there's two guys standing guard, and they start having just violent table-breaking sex in there, and the guards, they're just, like, look at each other, and they're just, like, standing awkwardly, and it was a cute, funny moment in a travesty of a terrible film.
That's easily one of the top worst films that we saw for the Pain Train. That and Dracula Untold.
Dracula should have remained untold. Fucking Seventh Son. Raylene slept through that movie. She's the smartest person in that theater.
I kind of like it somewhat.
All the good stuff was in the trailers. You just like it because you like doing the voice. It's like he thought the voice he did from True Grit wasn't unintelligible enough, so he needed to crank it to 11.
Somebody told me he speaks normal in newer movies, and I don't understand that. I thought once you go Nick Nolte, you can't stop going Nick Nolte.
Speaking of Nick Nolte, he's great in Mandalorian.
He's pretty good in there, yeah.
It was crazy. I was like, man, that alien looks kind of like Nick Nolte. And then I saw his name in the credits. I'm like, wow, that alien was Nick Nolte.
I thought that alien sounded like Nick Nolte.
I have spoken.
Zappity,
I guess.
Yeah, Zappity. These are mine, David. You have to yell at Sean for not... So Sean, he, one of our Patreons, sent us some mead.
Dear friend of the show.
Yep.
And he got us some strawberry kiwi mead. He was also the one who asked about the Crippled System drink, so...
An apple pie mead.
Have you tried them yet?
No.
I haven't. I've been waiting to do that.
Don't wait too long, because since they're fresh home brew... You know, they can settle, like, the sediment and everything. Like, I kept one of the ones he made for me in for the WITC.
Oh, sure.
And then I went to drink it, and it was months later, and it had further fermented.
Ooh.
Some would say a little too much character.
He had said that these things were, I think, if I remember correctly, they were, like, 17% per foot. Like normal beer is, like, 5.5.
Sure.
These are 17 or something like that. Sure. They're super.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Super, well, it should be more like a wine than a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Less mead, you have more sugar to convert into alcohol.
Yep, 17% alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be 34 proof?
It would. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's easy math.
Yep. I can share some of it. I'll have to open them.
Well, I got my own at home. So it's just if David wants some that you would open and share with him.
David, would you want some?
Oh, probably not tonight. But
okay. I will save them for... Well, next week is going to be our 300th episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to have the normal cast and crew, or not the normal cast and crew, but I invited Jeremy, Katie, and Brian. The flashback crew. You're welcome to be here for that too, obviously.
Six microphones.
Yep. Oh, I might just do some modeling
stuff. Off-camera producing.
Yeah. But 300 episodes. I mean, that's a pretty...
It's a milestone.
Pretty big milestone for...
Technically more than 300 episodes, so there's a couple lost episodes.
There's one... I don't think we've had any lost episodes.
We definitely had the abandoned episode, although I guess it didn't... Well, because it didn't get a number is my point. But there was the one that you, me, and Jim were doing where we got like an hour into it, and we were like, man, we are just sucking it raw right now. And so we just stopped and went and saw a movie.
Yeah.
I forget what movie we even went to, but we were just like, we're halfway through and
we were just talking about going to see a movie.
Yeah, well, because we were just like so bored of all of our conversation. We just started talking and we were looking up what movies were playing. And at a point, we're like, you know, let's just go see a movie instead. And so we just scrapped that episode.
Yeah, I think it ended up just being re-recorded.
Well, sure. But my point is that's a little mini episode that doesn't exist. Yep. So if you counted that, that would have made us today be up to 300, you know. And so if there were more than one of those little lost episodes.
There's a lot of half episodes, too, the ones that came in between, you know, official episodes. But yeah, no, I mean, I think we're the longest running podcast that's on the Musa Minis Network.
Yeah.
I like that description of the podcast.
The longest running podcast on the Musa Minis Network?
On the Musa Minis Network, because that is factually correct, because we're not a War Machine podcast.
Yeah. I mean, we loosely talk about Privateer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we favor Privateer because they're good friends of us.
So. Yeah.
And that's kind of pretty much where we started, too, is we started with the War Machine Hordes audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the folks, they might not even play War Machine Hordes and all, but they still listen to us, which is kind of cool. Actually, it's very cool, but I don't mean to say it's kind of cool.
It's very cool. We appreciate each and every one of our listeners.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Except, you know, that one guy, but he knows who he is.
Yeah. Sends me all those emails.
Zappity.
I don't need to see those pictures. Savity!
Crumble.
Yay.
I recommend a movie.
Is it Knives Out?
Knives Out is a good film, but it's not the one I was going to recommend. The one I was going to recommend, I had been thinking about recommending for a while, and I kept just not doing so. And then you bring up the Dependables, the Pride of Lions, reminded me. So I'm going to finally bite the bullet and do this one. But there is a film called Four Lions. That is, it's technically a drama, but it's got a lot of like funny, humorous moments in it as well. So it's kind of like almost like a Kiss Kiss Big Bang, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, or Nice Guys kind of thing.
Finally saw it.
You saw Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
Yep.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Four Lions. Which is, to summarize it based on the way that Google has it here, is a group of young Muslim men living in Sheffield decide to wage jihad, and they hatch an inept plan to become suicide bombers. So it's kind of like if you think like Bottle Rocket, the first...
I know of it.
Wes Anderson film where like the Wilsons, they want to like rob a place and they're not very good at it. And so it's a drama, but there's also some comedy involving their incompetence. It's that, except with suicide bombers. So it's not the most lighthearted of premises, but the film is super, super, super good. And I cannot recommend it highly enough. Four Lions.
I think I have the official poster of Bottle Rocket.
Bottle Rocket, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good movie, Bottle Rocket. I mean, Wes Anderson does good stuff. But no, I Four Lions.
I will recommend game Dragon Quest XI, mm-hmm. which, as I'd mentioned earlier in the podcast, that I'd originally gotten it for Lars, my middle child, except then my wife started playing, and then I started playing, and then I had to go out and get a second copy of the game so my wife and I could play at the same time. It is a Japanese-style role-playing game. It is somewhat old school, but not entirely, and it knows exactly what it is and doesn't really pretend to be anything more, and that's one of the best parts about it. I will also recommend
Dragon Quest stuff in general is good.
Yeah,
like the original Dragon Warrior in America, but Dragon Quest in other regions. The Dragon Quest Builder.
Dragon Quest Builders one and two have probably gotten more hours of play than anything else in my household.
The spinoff like slime adventure games for like the Game Boy Advance and stuff like that. They're a blast. It's a fun series that knows what it's about. It's lighthearted enough, but it has, you know, the stories have some drama to them as well, but it's in the cartoonish Tokuyama style.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, because they've been kind of parallel to the Final Fantasy, but the Final Fantasy games tend to take themselves too seriously, and many of them do.
Yeah.
Like especially 8, I thought was unplayable because of it.
I mean, they always have. I mean, even the original one, they have some lighthearted stuff within them, but the Final Fantasy games have always been very, very deep drama.
Yeah.
Like, they'll have one, like 9, for example. Yeah, you have Steiner, who's wacky and whatnot. But then, meanwhile, you have Vivi, whose entire plot line is about the concept of mortality and whether we even matter in a cold and unforgiving universe, and can we be said to be alive. Yeah. Like, that shit's heavy. And then Dragon Quest is like, here's some slimes. Yay!
Yeah. And, I mean, the game knows exactly what it is and doesn't really pretend to be anything more. And there are lots of prostitution jokes, too. Yeah.
Well, it's like, I think it was 8 or 9, one of them that was on the PS2, which was the last one I bought. Like, I jumped from, 3 to that, and then now I got 11. But the functional, status ailment spell, instead of confusion or sleep that would take your person out of the thing, your people were dancing.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be afflicted with the uncontrollable urge to disco dance, and that was the equivalent of being put to sleep, because it's funner.
Yeah.
It was functionally the same. Your person was out of the fight and skipped their turn until somebody hit them, same as a sleep spell, but they'd be boogieing on the screen.
That's also because there's like a befuddle spell, and then the cure spell is defuddle.
Dig it. Defuddle, because they've been fuddled, Andy. That guy's thoroughly fuddled. You love it. Fuck off. The only thing I hate about Dragon Quest games are those goddamn metal slimes.
I killed a metal babble.
Fuckers.
Today, right before coming to the podcast.
Miss, runaway.
Yeah. I killed a metal babble right before leaving for the podcast. It was awesome.
Good.
But yeah, it's a great game. It's available on Switch, PlayStation 4, probably Xbox, but honestly, I don't care. And PC.
Xbox One is a dead system.
Well, Xbox One is a dead system. It is on Steam, 50% off right now. So get it, play it, it's good.
Then you were going to also recommend something else.
Yes, I'm going to recommend something else. Yeah. And that is the Kroger brand Private Selection Belgian chocolate Irish cream ice cream. Just in general,
that was a lot of adjectives.
Yeah,
Kroger brand Private Selection Belgian chocolate
Irish cream
ice cream.
Yes, it is really, really good. And I mean, it's not just it is the Private Selection brand by the Kroger Corporation, which will be at several of the Kroger owned stores, and
which is every grocery store on the planet at this point,
except Woodman's.
Yeah.
Everything in the Midwest except Hy-Vee and Woodman's is
and the Piggly Wiggly. I don't think Piggly Wiggly's is a Kroger.
It's not Kroger.
But like Pick and Save
and Cops and
not Miller's
are all Kroger.
Speaking of people who have their children be in their commercials,
that's fine with me.
So basically, it's Bailey's the ice cream.
Yeah, with some chocolate too. It's amazing.
The person who invented this shit just got serious works in my department now. So I got to shake her hand in person and thank her for a life-changing event.
Because that's the best ice cream they make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew?
I don't have any recommendations.
Okay, well, you can borrow my ice cream.
Bailey's ice cream.
Yeah.
Or you could recommend The Witcher.
Nope, I haven't seen it yet. Can't draw an opinion. I already recommended The Terror. Everyone should watch The Terror. Both seasons. Both seasons are really good.
He's a scary guy.
It's not a scary thing.
The Terror, he's scary. He killed that kid's whole family.
No. No. No.
He's got a man-eating cow.
There's no man-eating cow.
In the comics and the animated series, the Terror has like his Sinister Six group, and one of the members is a man-eating cow.
Yeah,
ever seen it eat a man, but it's called the man-eating cow, so they all assume it probably eats people, and nobody wants to push the issue.
They're not making that show anymore, it's dead to me, until they reboot it again in five more years.
Okay, the like fifth version of the Tick?
Yeah, no, the Terror is also is really good. Man, I don't know.
All right, then.
Yeah. I recommend checking out our episode 300.
Okay.
It'd probably be about as good as our episode 10.
We got our Star Wars episode.
Our Star Wars episode will be going up later tonight. So, anyway.
Hooray! Thanks for listening. We appreciate you. And have yourself a Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year.
Yeah, it would be at the Happy New Year part.
We're halfway through Christmas.
Halfway through Christmas?
Yeah. It's 12 days long. Hence the song.
No, that, what?
Fun trivia. How many gifts does the person get?
One.
Do you know, David? How many gifts the person gets in the 12 days of Christmas?
I don't know what the 12th triangular number is off the top of my head, but it's a lot.
It's 364.
Okay.
Because you have to do 12 triangular plus 11 triangular plus 10 triangular because each day he gets that whole, you know, the first day he gets the partridge, but the second day he gets another partridge and the two turtle doves. And so he ends up getting 12 partridges and so on. So it's 364 gifts. Win friends and influence people. I guarantee you drop that trivia at a bar, you're getting laid.